full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Calls 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Time now for another edition of The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I'm hearing revolution in the air, air, air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that. Revolution@LizBrown.com. That's revolution@LizBrown.com. You need to get up. Ooh, you need to get to me. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Things are amazing out here in the world. I think a couple of years ago... Oh, wait a minute. Before I get to that story, I do have to give a shout-out here. I got to give a shout-out here. If you haven't had a chance to get on your computer and check out Loose Change, oh my God. You know, I do this for a living, okay? I talk about 9/11, I talk about these issues for a living. I've had a number of guests on, too many to count, actually, to dissect and explore what happened on 9/11. There is a free download of this movie called Loose Change. And for those of you that always thought that there was something fishy about what happened on 9/11, this is going to blow your mind. I'm telling you. For those of you who know that there was something fishy about 9/11, this is going to blow your mind. And for those of you that thought that everything happened the way that the government said that it happened on 9/11, this is going to blow your mind. Whoever, the young men that put these together, the men who put this together, Loose Change, it's going to blow your mind. And it's free. All you, honest to goodness, I've never seen anything like, and I do this for a living. It is amazing. I was told this by some friends out there that I thought that nothing could surprise them. The excitement in the voices of those who have directed me to this internet film, Loose Change. I understand now why they were so insistent upon me seeing it. Honest to God, it's just amazing. There's one scene in this internet film that they show the hole in the Pentagon. Then they show you the size of the plane that was supposed to hit the Pentagon. And they put the plane in front of the hole. Where are the wings? The wings should, if that plane went through that hole, then where were the wings outside of the Pentagon, the building, the Pentagon? Where's the debris from the wings? And then there's this one incredible clip, two incredible clips. They show of the Empire State Building. Did y'all know that a plane crashed into the Empire State Building? And they show the film of the Empire State Building burning. Empire State Building didn't crash to the ground, did it? Then they show this other building that was on fire for over 48 hours. Another tall steel building. On fire for over 48 hours. They didn't crash all the way to the ground. Then they show our buildings that were on flame for what? 45 minutes? And our buildings fell, both of them fell all the way to the ground. Just the visualness of that. The visualness of that. Loose Change is a film that everybody who has access to the internet needs to see. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. I'm telling you, you're going to have to do it in bits and pieces. It's a lot. Then they go back to, they have these incredible documents from the military 40 years ago talking about turning Guantanamo into what Guantanamo is today. It is loose change is unbelievable. And I don't mean that you won't believe what you see. I mean that it is amazing how they put everything together. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You really need to see it. All you got to do is Google loose change. They now have a second edition. I'm telling you, it's the most amazing. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen. Whoo! 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. revolution@lizbrown.com. I mean, we had buildings that fell without even with no fire and no planes hitting them. You have to feel me on this. Get to the internet. Get to your computers. Google search loose change and it will change your life. It will change your life. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. I called you 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, told you about loose change. I emailed you about loose change. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen, and there's two more. There's one called In Plain Sight, and another one, The Greatest Lie of a Soul.
I've seen those. I'm telling loose change is in a class all by itself.
Oh, yes, it is.
Loose change is in a class all by itself.
How they broke it down and showed the explosion. This one, In Plain Sight, shows a flash, an explosion, right before the airplanes hit. They slowed it down and blew the screen up now. It had a flash. They said, "What's this flash?" And they showed, and they tried to say it was a reflection of the sun, but they said a reflection of the sun only comes in one direction. So they showed it in different directions and saw that. And then they also said, "What's that up under the airplane?" They showed they blew the airplane up and said it was something up under there. And they said that was an incendiary device, like a missile that blew up to make the flash look real big. And then they said they were able to go back to the first airplane where and show the same flash. What is that flash? And to show those explosions, and Bush's brother was over the security detail of the World Trade, and they cleaned out the building for like some kind of test or to run new wiring for the first time in history, turned off all the security video, got rid of all of the security detail
for
the new people.
Do you remember my guest?
I saw him on there.
But remember what he said about going up the stairs and the one room that he couldn't go into because he had such a bad feeling about what was going on there, about the explosions coming from underneath, and about how the 9/11 Commission didn't want to hear anything that he had to say.
Didn't even report on nothing he said.
No.
But they showed the flashes of the explosions going on while the building was going down. The guy said, "What's that? What's that? What's that?" And the little flashes on floors below it, making it come down. And then to have that other building 7 come down, where all of the records from insider trading were stored. All of them files were stored in that building 7 that guy said, pull it on. But you got to, boy, and people just got to see it. It's a heart-wrenching thing.
Yes, it is.
To even think.
And then to see that film that's coming out just to push people back into that God Save America and right. We were wrong and go get them and let's go kill some of them who got us.
Yeah.
And also, you know, they said that they caught all of the hijackers. The hijackers. How are hijackers out there walking around alive?
That's right. And they don't even talk about that. But the FBI guy came out and said later, maybe they didn't. But it's an amazing thing that an hour after the plane crashed, they had pictures. And
isn't that something? Clothes. How the heck could you do that?
It
doesn't even sound right.
But see, the most scary part is that we should be void of any kind of suspicion of some stuff like that.
That's fact.
That's fact. But you got to look at this album. People got to see the about the Pentagon. That building is the most video building in the world. Every inch of video, and they haven't shown one video of an airplane hitting. And if you look at where the airplane hit, there's a big hole, but what if the wings hit?
That's right.
What if the wings hit?
Where's the debris from the wings?
Where's the debris in Pittsburgh? Not one chair, no metal, nothing. That doesn't add up. But you are right. Loose Change show how buildings burn for almost 24 hours and don't collapse.
Okay.
An hour.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You know, it's like when our government tells us, okay, out of all of this rubble, we found a confession diary from Osama bin Laden. A videotape that was untouched. You know, just like they found passports of these guys. Come on. Out of the rubble, they found passports. And the passports were legitimate passports. They didn't have fake passports. Come on. 454-0400 is my phone number. Al.
Good morning, Ms. Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
Well, I want to sidetrack you for a minute. Did you hear Senator Joe Biden said, let's make Iraq three countries now. Let's cut it up into three countries. I guess it's going to be the Sunnis, the Shiites, and
Biden, I support this president and wish him well on this war.
You know,
Is that the Joe Biden you're talking about?
Yes. Let me ask you a question. Because for the last 3 years, we as black people have been talking about a conspiracy from the federal government on this 9/11, and we've been called anti-American. How come we as black people think differently than white people is? Will you help me with that?
I think that the reason why most people of African descent that I've had a chance to talk to, and most readings that I have done, think different than a lot of white people is because of our life experience here. We have had the experience of a government that has lied to us in the face. Okay, we have absorbed that. And we have had the experience of a government that has not protected our issues. And we have absorbed that. We come clear-eyed. We were stolen and brought clear-eyed to this country about the wrongs that this country can do. Other people outside of the community of African descent, far too many people outside of the community of African descent, can allow themselves the fiction of what America is, because holding to that fiction from their perspective gains them advantage in doing so. Why should they think, from their perspective, why should I think anything bad about my government? Why should I?
You know,
why on earth would I?
You know, I have no idea. But you know, from the start, I wouldn't have had a problem with 9/11 if the buildings had bent over from where they crashed. I didn't see the plane was taller than the Pentagon. I'm like you all. I didn't see no debris outside if just the fuselage went through the building. In Pennsylvania, I didn't even see no seats on the ground. And I had to say to myself, now if I say anything about this, I'm going to be anti-American. I'm trying to love my Arab neighbors. I just have a problem to how they have whipped us up into following their footsteps. You know, the green zone over in Iraq is almost the size of Orlando, Florida, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Guantanamo Bay. That plan was scheduled 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think Iraq's been on the drawing board for quite some time, too, Liz.
All right.
That they want to be over there in the Middle East. And I would have to go and be a soothsayer and tell you, fasten your seatbelt, because I think he's going to get ready to march into Iran.
Thanks for your call.
Have a nice day.
454-0400 is my phone number. Let me share this scary bit of news coming out of Turkey. Speaking of Iran, this is just a thought to get you into our break here. Turkish Foreign Minister Abdullah Gül said this on Sunday, that Turkey, his country, refused a request from the United States to attack Iran from its Air Force base in Incirlik, despite the U.S. offer of a nuclear reactor. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our good government has already gone to Turkey and said, can we attack Iran from your house? We'll give you a nuclear reactor. Al just said that I think my government's going into Iran. The Turkish foreign minister said that his country had refused an offer. Now remember, this administration wants us to attack Iran because they have nuclear ambitions. But meanwhile, we're passing out nuclear stuff like Halloween candy to get for thy will to be done. Lord, we need to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
Located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Sometimes we need to be reminded of just how powerful our faith is. Don't worry, it's easy. Just tune in to the Power of Faith broadcast Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. Every week, it's a new broadcast of worship services from Christ Community Temple in St. Louis. Pastor William Harper invites you to join the praise and make their church service your own. That's Christ Community Temple's Power of Faith broadcast Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Westbound 5570, there's a medical emergency, and crews have the left lane closed. The traffic backs up all the way to 64. That's westbound 5570 at 3rd Street. Eastbound 40 at Vanaventer is road construction. Left lane's closed. Eastbound 40 from Long Road to 270. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44. Look for traffic to be building up at this hour. Southbound 55 at Germania. There's a disabled vehicle right shoulder. And northbound Route 3 from 8th Street on the PSB, that traffic's building, as well as from the other approaches at 5570 and 64 at Ball Avenue all the way on to the PSB. Look for slight delays there as well. Also, the King Bridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, no problems to report there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. Find out more at goang.gov. GoAng.com. That's GoAng.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy, high in the 80s. For this evening, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers after midnight, with a low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high around 70. Currently, we have 53 degrees and clear skies at AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Be sure to listen to Joy in Jerusalem each Sunday, time 11 until 12 p.m., with Dr. Evangelist Rosella Burks, presenting Elder William Bailey and Elder Damon Colling, along with other great pastors. Feel the joy every Sunday, time 11 p.m., here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The St. Louis Writers Guild presents a poetry workshop on Saturday from 10 to noon. The Guild presents Harvard-educated poet and novelist Ruth Miriam Garnett at the Barnes & Noble on Watson Road in Crestwood. All are welcome. The $5 charge for non-members may be fully credited toward dues within 30 days. For more information, call 314-821-3823. Poetic news to you from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
My shoes, jumping in the water, washing away these blues, down into the ocean, current takes hold, words already been spoken, tales already been told, hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed, do you want to be loved?
Do you want to be loved? Do you want to be loved for real? This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920-WGNU is my number. There are some major stories going on out here. Some amazing stories that are going on out here. And you may not hear them put together, so let me try to put these stories together as we all feel what's happening with loose change and how we're being manipulated by our good government. Check this out. This is a report that came out Sunday. The dollar has embarked on a big decline. The dollar has been under a pressure following last week's meeting of the G7 finance ministers and central bankers, which emphasized global imbalances and said that currency should reflect economic fundamentals. Then China raised its key interest rate to 5.85%, the first hike in 4 months. 4 months, actually. And Bernanke, the new Federal Reserve chairman, hinted that American rates would pause at 5% after a raise in May. Analysts say without interest rate support, the dollar will be weighed down heavily by America's imbalance. I think this is it, said the global head of the currency strategy company. The dollar has been supported by high yields, but markets are saying that it is no longer enough. The question for policymakers is going to be how to manage the dollar's decline. It won't be a one-way street, but the fall is likely to be biggest against Asian currencies. Do you understand what they're saying? And then I want to take you to, if you just hold on to that thought for a moment, I want to take you to Latin America. I want to take you to Central America. I want to take you to, as America screams, as the leader of the free nation, George W. Bush howls about how our national anthem must be sung in English. Check out what's going on with those who don't speak English. Bolivia. Bolivian President Evo Morales signed a decree on Monday to nationalize the hydrocarbon sector, requiring foreign-owned companies to turn over their natural gas fields to the state, and ordering the military to occupy them to ensure production. Impoverished Bolivia has the second largest natural gas reserves in South America after Venezuela. Morales was elected because he said, you know what, this is our stuff. If I win the presidency, I will return to the people their oil reserves. The state that Morales read aloud at the government decree, saying the state recovers ownership, possession, and total and absolute control of the hydrocarbons. This means that the state will own the resources, will take charge of the commercialization, relegating foreign companies to operators. Previously, Bolivian law had said the state no longer owned the gas companies extracted from the underground. Now, Bolivia exports most of its natural gas to Argentina and Brazil. The government is negotiating higher prices. There are American interests in Bolivia. My point with this story is that you need to feel the seismic shift in the world. You've seen, and just use this from your own personal experience, set aside any preconceived understandings of worlds out or countries outside of our own. If we are being gouged and gotten and took in America by the oil industries, American homegrown, English singing, national anthem owners of these oil companies. Oh, I bet they sing the national anthem in English. as they taking you Americans out there. If we're getting took by them, imagine how they are taking other countries. Imagine. They taking us. They are getting us. Know what they're doing when they go outside the United States. This is what they do when there's a little bit of regulation. And Bolivia says, no, our stuff's coming home. Check this out, check this out, check this out. No, we're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. We're taking a break. Get to me. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. I'm going to get at you when I get back.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis. Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening. California, you see him where...
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour. Let's get busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline San Juan. Puerto Rico is in the middle of a serious economic crisis today. Schools and government offices there have been closed because the government has a deficit of over $700 million. The 1,600 state-run schools have been shut down, leaving 500,000 kids without classes. And about 100,000 government workers are also without jobs. The governor of Puerto Rico, which is a United States territory, wants to start up a 7% sales tax to pay off a loan the nation needs to keep operating. Right now, Puerto Rico has no sales tax, and the feeling is lawmakers will not go for one that's greater than 5%. Continued inaction by lawmakers will only deepen the crisis. Government leaders are about evenly divided over whether to continue operating as an American territory or try to become a full-fledged American state. And Dateline Khartoum. It looks like the conflict in the Darfur region of Sudan will be continuing for the present, as rebels on Sunday rejected the latest peace proposal. The United States has requested the peace talks held over the weekend continue an additional 48 hours, and the African Union, which is moderating those talks, says it will comply. One of the rebel factions indicates the most recent proposals do not speak clearly enough about more autonomy for the Darfur region or guarantee that a vice president for the government will be from that region. There has been war between various tribes for decades, but the Darfur conflict took a turn for the worse in 2003 when some factions became armed and accused the central government of neglecting their issues. The government responded with a full military press, including aerial bombing. Arab militias known as the Janjaweed began committing atrocities, and there were suspicions that they were being backed by the government, although officials have denied any connection with them. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. The wake-up call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Calls 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, is your station for talk radio with a difference. Call now for your turn on the air. The numbers are 314-454-0400 or toll free 1-877-920-WGNU. Individual results may vary. Some restrictions apply.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents the film Camp de Theroy on Friday at 7 p.m. The film will be shown in French with English subtitles. Admission is $3 for museum members and $5 for non-members. Tickets may be purchased at the door or in advance by calling 314-655-5299. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Thank you.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And I just want to make one more quick point as I tie some of these issues together. And this is amazing. In Havana, now we had Bolivian President Morales nationalizing his gas, the hydrocarbons. Venezuela, Bolivia, and Cuba. The Bolivia's new president signed a pact with Cuba and Venezuela on Saturday that rejects U.S.-backed free trade and promises a socialist version of regional commerce and cooperation. With Cuba's Fidel Castro, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, and President Evo Morales, they signed an updated version of the so-called Bolivian Alternative for the Americas, adding Bolivia as the third member. In Cuba and Venezuela, we find unconditional solidarity. They are the best allies for changing Bolivia. Now, just feel that. Feel that. That's what's coming. That is what is coming down the pike. And let me add one more piece to this story. Venezuela is fixing to tell the world, demand of the world, that it be recognized as the largest holder of oil reserves in the world. They want to replace the Saudis. And they are going to demand that the world recognize that there's more oil reserves, there are more oil reserves in Venezuela than there is with the Saudis. And who is this country fighting with? Who does this country not have a relationship? Who does this country, this administration, try to demonize? Venezuela. Seems to me y'all need to be making friends with the folks that got the oil. Seems to me y'all need to be playing nice with the folks who got the oil. 454-0400 is my phone number. Don't forget, this Saturday from May 6th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the people's lawyers, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America from the courtroom to Katrina at the Muhammad Academy. That's 3526 Garrison. Special guest speaker, Dr. Imari Obadeli. And this is sponsored by the Provisional Government, Republic of New Africa. $25 includes dinner. For more information, 839-0422. And the people's lawyer will be on the wake-up call on Friday. Chokwe Lumumba will be on the wake-up call on Friday to talk about this event and about injustice in America. Injustice in America. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Brown.
Korean veteran, good morning.
Oh, yes,
sir.
I caught all that news this morning about Chavez and Bolivia naturalizing in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, you know, China has gone into Africa, and I heard they had made about seven different stops over there in Africa.
Chinese?
When we were in Ghana, we saw what the influence of China into Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the one from Zimbabwe, the President Mugabe, you know, he flew to China. So
that's right.
They're getting all this stuff together on gases and
that's
all.
That's correct.
I saw where Archbishop Tutu told the people over in South Africa, this troop in reconciliation, that the blacks wasn't getting very much out of it. Did you happen to hear about that?
I haven't heard that. I will check on that. All right.
Said that the rebels are coming forward because they want to share in their wealth.
It's their wealth.
All right.
All right now. Thank you, Korean veteran. Right. This is Liz Brown, the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the below, that's the low knee.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The protests are over for now, but did the millions of immigrants and supporters who stayed in nationwide demonstrations get Washington's attention? ABC's Alex Stone is in L.A., where some of the biggest rallies were held.
It wasn't quite a million people. In fact, police say it wasn't close. The official city estimate is about 250,000 people were at the first L.A. rally, and then thousands more at a second rally later in the day. Still, organizers say they achieved their goal. They wanted the country to witness the impact immigrants have on the U.S. Many downtown L.A. stores and restaurants were closed for the day.
About 400,000 marched in Chicago, including some of the city's religious leaders. Francis Cardinal George was one of the speakers.
They are our brothers and sisters, worthy of respect. And we should, we will, find ways to welcome them and do so legally.
For the most part, police say the demonstrations were peaceful. This, however, is an exception. Officers in L.A. pelted with rocks and bottles by angry protesters. Another poll, another drop in President Bush's approval rating.
This Gallup poll delivers a career low for the president. 34% job approval rating, 63% disapproval, with declines on his handling of energy and the economy and Iraq. Democrats in Congress believe this helps them in the upcoming elections, showing Americans want change.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Another violent day in Iraq. An American soldier killed yesterday by a roadside bomb. Another bomb exploded at a busy marketplace in Baghdad. Two Iraqis killed. Officials hear from the families today of the West Virginia coal mine victims. ABC's Barbara Bridge.
The head of the U.S. Mine Safety and Health Administration says the families of the fallen Sago miners deserve to know the progress made in finding the cause of the Sago disaster. The hearings were initially set for mid-March, but several miners' families asked that the hearings be postponed until both state and federal investigators had more answers.
ABC News.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
This is Bill Cosby. Remember these words. Medicare prescription drug benefit. There is a May 15th deadline.
Don't miss this deadline to enroll and start saving money on your prescription drugs. If you're on Medicare, you're eligible. Call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Yell from the highest rooftop. Tell everybody. Go out, get them to call this number.
Call 1-800-MEDICARE. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the NAACP.
Will it surprise anyone? Probably not, but one scandal on Capitol Hill is leading to another. More from ABC News Chief Investigative Correspondent Brian Ross.
The congressional payoff scandal may soon be known as the congressional sex scandal. The FBI is now investigating whether hookers were part of the scheme used by defense companies to get lucrative contracts from congressmen. We already know about the cash, cars, mansions, and yachts that changed hands in the case of disgraced former congressman Duke Cunningham. But now sources close to the investigation tell us, as well as the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, that sexual favors may have been part of the deal. The allegations include descriptions of Washington, D.C. poker parties in hotel suites where prostitutes were brought in limousines as part of the entertainment for congressmen. I'm Brian Ross, ABC News.
We may never know why he was in the tree in the first place, but Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards is out of a hospital in Fiji. He took a tumble from a palm tree while on vacation. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, as students at Columbia High School deal with the attempted murder of a classmate, they can receive help from a specialized team of counselors. The Student Crisis Assistance Team was called in yesterday to help school counselors meet students' needs. The team is administered by the Regional Office of Education for Monroe and Randolph Counties and involves social workers, counselors, and police officers. Samson Shelton, a teacher at Freeburg High School, is charged with the attempted murder and kidnapping of the 17-year-old Columbia student. The victim is recovering from serious injuries at an area hospital. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says faulty equipment readings played a part in last December's reservoir breach in Reynolds County. According to a report released yesterday, sensors at Ameren-U East Tomsock Reservoir were located too high to provide accurate readings of water levels. The report also states that the reservoir was routinely filled to within inches of the top of the wall. The December 14th reservoir breach sent more than a billion gallons of water down the Black River, flooding Johnson Shut-In State Park and destroying the home of the park superintendent. Finally this hour, the Missouri Department of Mental Health is looking for public input on how they can make improvements. The Mental Health Commission held a hearing yesterday in St. Louis to give residents a chance to weigh in on where improvements can be made. Bob Bax, a spokesperson for the department, says the commission wants to hear what people have to say.
The Mental Health Commission is very interested in hearing from family members, from providers, from anyone in the mental health community about the services that are provided by the Department of Mental Health.
The hearings are being held in response to the recent deaths of two patients at a rehabilitation center in the St. Louis area. Written comments can still be submitted by writing to the Mental Health Commission at P.O. Box 687, Jefferson City, Missouri 65102, or by emailing comments to mhcommission@dmh.mo.gov. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Thames. Westbound 5570 3rd Street, that accident's been cleared, but there's still some slowdown around Illinois 203. Eastbound 78 Lucas and Hunt, look for an accident. Two left lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up to near 170. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, look for road construction. Left lanes closed, and there's slowdowns through the construction zone at this hour. Eastbound 70 at K and 79, look for traffic building. Northbound 270 at 44 is slow. Westbound 44 between 141 and Antire, look for the left lane closed due to road construction. And all the approaches to the Poplar Street Bridge as well as the King Bridge, you're seeing some delays now at this hour. Also North Brentwood at 40 and Clayton, look for a broken water main as well as New Halls Ferry between West Florissant and Lindbergh, look for road construction. That's all reduced down to one lane on either direction. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the world's first and largest specialized temporary financial staffing firm. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy, 30% chance of showers after midnight with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high in mid-70s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, a chance for showers with a high around 70. Currently, we have 54 degrees under clear skies at the studio of AM 920 WGNU. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number as well. These are amazing times that we're living in. Oil, over $70 a barrel. Gasoline prices, some places touching $4 a gallon. Trade deficits are unbelievable. I'm looking at a story today coming out of Bloomberg. And the headline reads, Bush leverage with Russia, Iran, China falls as oil prices rise. It's a geopolitical nightmare. says a former Republican senator from Maine and the defense secretary under Bill Clinton, who is now running a consultant group. Such nations as Iran, Russia, and China don't see us as the colossus that can cause them any harm, either by our economy or our prestige. Oh, what a difference a reputation makes, doesn't it? Your mother and father are right. You need to keep a good reputation. When you lose it, it's tough getting it back. We need to talk about our relationship with China. I have friends that are doing business with China, friends that are ecstatic about doing business with China, friends that find it easier to do business with China than with businesses here in the United States. And that's on a small scale. When George W. Bush was running for president of the United States, he portrayed China as a strategic competitor. We need to talk about how he views China today and the impact of his view and understanding of China on all of us. China may be thousands of miles away, but it impacts your daily life, every hour of every day. We need to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Dr. Josh Bivens, Graduate Research Fellow for Congressional Records Center, Research Center, I'm sorry. And good morning, Dr. Bivens.
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning.
And I also have joining me from Washington, D.C., Robert Scott. He's the Senior International Economist for Economic Policy Institute. Dr. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Very good. Dr. Scott, I want to start with you. When George W. Bush was running, the rhetoric that he was saying about China back in 2000 was that China is a strategic competitor. Does he see China like that now?
Well, I certainly think so. I think that the Bush administration seems to be overly concerned with China's geopolitical power. They're kowtowing to China and refusing to take them on economic issues ranging from the currency to trade deficit, and I think kind of impart the belief that they don't want to upset the Chinese, don't want to disrupt negotiations with China, for example, in North Korea.
And Dr. Bivens, in terms of the, economics 101 with regard to China. Can you kind of walk us through the process of our relationship economically with China as it pertains to the trade deficit? Can you start us at the beginning of that and walk us through that?
I can give it a try.
All right.
It's been characterized, I think, pretty aptly as sort of a codependent relationship between the two economies. And essentially, China uses the U.S. market, the U.S. consumer market, to export a lot of goods to in order to support employment in their country. Because they have hundreds of millions of people coming into cities and looking for employment. And the way that they're going to make sure that there's enough demand to support that employment is to use the U.S. consumer market. And in an effort to pursue that goal, they buy lots and lots of U.S. dollars on world markets to keep their currency artificially competitive in exporting to the United States. So one big reason why Chinese-made goods are so cheap in the United States, it's not just because China's a poor country and wages are low. That's part of it. Then over and above that, there's the policy of the Chinese government to buy dollars and artificially suppress the value of their currency because they need to export lots of stuff to the U.S. We get some benefits from that. I mean, we have lower interest rates than would otherwise prevail because we have this huge country with huge savings. going to finance a lot of the investment and consumption we do in excess of what we actually save. And so, again, we've got this codependent relationship that the Chinese government needs the U.S. consumer to support demand, to keep people employed, and we're enjoying the low interest rates. And then on the flip side, there's harm done in both countries as well. Chinese consumers have an artificially weak currency, so they can't afford as much as they could otherwise. And then you've got all the workers, especially manufacturing workers in the United States, who are harmed by that competition with these artificially cheap Chinese goods. And so you've got the situation. It helps some people in both countries. It harms other people in both countries. But the fundamental truth about it is that it just cannot go on, because what it leads to is what you referenced earlier, and that's that $200 billion trade deficit, the excess of imports coming from China relative to what we export to them. And it's growing every year, and it's now over a quarter, I think, of the entire U.S. trade deficit, and everyone agrees that has to unwind in this relationship. While it's worked out in the short term, with winners and losers in both countries, just can't go on in the future.
And Dr. Scott, you did a report a couple of years ago on this deficit. Talk to us about, in terms of the loss of jobs that occurs as a result of this $200 billion deficit, because we were told by both Bush and the Bush before him and the Bush after him that this is going to be good for our economy because we will be able to export and we will create jobs. How has that turned out? And also, Bill Clinton also talked to us about the WTO, that this would help create jobs as well. Talk to us about the loss of jobs and how it has impacted on us from that perspective.
Well, trade both supports and displaces domestic workers. Most trade takes place in goods, especially with China. Almost everything we trade with China is goods, in particular goods that come from manufacturing. And I know there in St. Louis you have strong base of manufacturing industries, and so you've been particularly hard hit by trade with China. And when exports increase from the U.S., that tends to support people in domestic jobs. However, if we import things like computers from China, then people who could have made those things here no longer make them. So overall, we export we import six times as much from China as we export to them today. So that means we're displacing six times as many people because of imports as we are gaining in terms of exports. So yes, exports support domestic jobs, but we've lost a heck of a lot more from imports.
You write in your report, and I made a note as I was reading through this because it was just so shocking to me. You write that between 1989 and 2003, the growth in U.S. exports to China created a demand that supported 199,000 additional U.S. jobs.
That's right.
But in the same period, the growth of imports displaced production that could have supported an additional 1,659,000 jobs.
Right. The last few digits I don't want to hang my hat on, but yeah, roughly 1.6 million jobs.
So talk to us about this whole displaced concept, because I don't think that people understand necessarily how the whole job market is moved as a result of these imports.
Well, over the long run, what trade really does is it, if we have growing trade deficits, it pushes people out of jobs in sectors like manufacturing, where we produce exports and where we compete with imports, and into sectors like retail trade, where wages are much, much lower. And often, the jobs that are displaced have good middle-class wages and full benefits, and the jobs people are getting are in industries that pay much less. So what trade is really about is changing the composition of employment, and on average, it's pushing people into jobs that that are much worse. And so what we see, I think, under the surface of this job displacement, we see a much broader effect on wages and incomes throughout the economy.
And Dr. Bivens, one of the things that I think people probably would be surprised to know that this is a bipartisan issue. Bill Clinton said that, or at least his administration, confidently forecast that the U.S. trade deficit with China would improve if Congress ratified the agreement to bring China into the WTO. How did that work out for us? And explain to the audience what the WTO is.
Well, the World Trade Organization is, let me back up a little bit. In the post-World War II era, there was something called the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. And that was essentially a multilateral treaty where countries got together and agreed to lower tariffs, mostly on manufactured goods. And by 1995, those tariffs were pretty low, and that job was pretty much done, and the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade kind of morphed into the World Trade Organization, which is a much more ambitious undertaking. It's sort of trying to harmonize the rules governing the global economy, not just regards to tariffs, but in all sorts of other, I would say, properly domestic policies as well. We belong to it, most countries in the world do, and in 1999, China petitioned to enter the World Trade Organization, and the U.S. supported that petition, and also in that year, we normalized trade relations with China. It used to be subject to periodic review for them to be certified as sort of meeting basic human rights standards and some other things in order to get preferential access to the U.S. market. And in 1999, we just sort of stamped them as, yes, they're going to have the same access as everybody else. And as you say, that this was promised that it would actually cut the trade deficit with China. And I think the reasoning went, our tariffs are already pretty low, so we're not going to change much by giving China the same access that we give, say, the U.K. or Canada. Whereas Chinese tariffs and barriers to trade were higher, and presumably when we normalize trading relations with them, those would come down, we'd have a better chance to export. It has not worked out that way at all. In fact, the trade deficit has absolutely ballooned since 1999. I think it was less than $50 billion in that year. It's now $200 billion. And it's a little, it's unclear why exactly it ballooned in that time. I think one thing, there's a huge underestimate of how committed the Chinese government was to maintaining its sort of, again, artificially competitive exchange rate against the U.S. I think people thought that over time, Chinese government would let that currency rise to sort of sustain balanced trade, and that just hasn't happened. But all in all, the promise that sort of normalizing trade relations between the U.S. and China would lead to a reduction in that deficit has definitely not come to pass.
And Dr. Scott, where does that leave us as a nation? I mean, where do we go with a trade deficit like this? What do we do?
Well, we have a mechanism for dealing with this. Actually, there are several. As Josh is saying, at its core, a big part of this problem has to do with the exchange rate between the yuan and the dollar. And China is artificially depressing the value of its currency. It's like a subsidy. Makes their exports here cheap. It makes our exports to China very expensive. So the first thing we have to do is find a way to convince China to raise the value of its currency to a more appropriate level.
But we're not politically in a place to do that, are we?
Oh, I strongly disagree. China is incredibly dependent on its exports to the United States. Some people have suggested that as much as half of China's overall economic output, is dependent on exports, and particularly exports to the United States. So China has much more to lose from facing any kind of threat to its exports to the U.S. than we have in terms of losing the tiny amount of exports we make to China of about roughly $50 billion a year.
Well, I guess what I meant to say was, do we have the political will to do that?
That's an entirely different question. At this point, we do not. And it's interesting to note that the last time we had a situation like this, which occurred in the 1980s, we had a massive trade deficit at that point, or we thought it was massive, 3% of all of our output. Today it's 7%. But 3% was shocking in the 1980s. President Reagan took upon himself to do something about this. He sent his Treasury Secretary, James Baker, to meet with other members of the G5 and come up with a coordinated plan to bring down the value of the dollar. And that worked. The big problem then was Japan, not China. We had a huge deficit with Japan. And by bringing down the dollar, we brought the deficit with Japan and the rest of the world down to a manageable level. It took about 2 years, but we got it done, and over the next 3 or 4 years, we got the deficit down. We need to do the same thing today, and we don't have the political leadership to make that happen.
And we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, I'd like to continue this conversation. We're talking about China. We're talking about a $200 billion deficit, trade deficit. Our guest this morning joining me from Washington, D.C., Dr. Josh Bivens. He's a graduate research fellow for Congressional Record Center, and Dr. Robert Scott, the senior international economist for Economic Policy Institute. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back.
Ain't nothing in the whole wide world like the peace that I have found. The little pain and joy they bring.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away, but then time passes and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Look for a multi-vehicle accident involving the center lane involving four cars, so use caution as you roll up to that area. Westbound 5570 at 3rd Street, there's an accident that's been cleared. Traffic is still slow through Illinois 203. Eastbound 70 at Lucas and Hunt, all roadways are reopened after an earlier accident. Westbound 70 between Lucas and Hunt and Goodfellow, slight delays after an earlier accident in the eastbound lanes. Eastbound 44 at Viaduct and Pacific, look for an accident, left lane is blocked. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to West Florissant, look for slow traffic. And all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge at this hour are heavy at this time. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, look for slow traffic in pockets. And eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason Road, look for some traffic congestion there as well. Westbound 40 at Market, that exit is closed due to maintenance work. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored five McDonald's restaurants. Money's tight these days. Good thing you can stop in for one of four tasty extra value meals like a Big Mac sandwich, medium fries, and medium drink, all for under $4 every day. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday for today. Partly cloudy, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers after midnight, low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, the high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, pretty much the same, mostly cloudy, chance for showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 55. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit MilesCash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas tree. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Irish ring and a pop and runner too.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MelesCash.com.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Run from the noise, ran away. Don't want to go back to that place, but don't have no choice, no way. It ain't easy growing up in World War III. Never know what love could be that I've seen. I don't want love to destroy me like it did my family. Can we be a family?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we're talking about China. We're talking about a $200 billion bilateral trade deficit. I think it's the largest in American history. Our guest, my guest, joining us from Washington, D.C., Dr. Josh Bivens, a graduate research fellow for Congressional Research Center in Washington, D.C., and Dr. Robert Scott. He's the senior international economist for Economic Policy Institute. And I'd like to go back to you, Dr. Bivens. Dr. Scott talked about the absence of political will to change what needs to be changed and to bring the deficit down. My question to you is do you believe that this administration, where we are at this time politically, has the political capital, even if they had the will, do they have the political capital to make this happen? Are we in a position to really tell any country that they must do anything, particularly China?
You know, it's a good question. I think, though, on this issue, there's pretty widespread agreement that this trade deficit and this particular economic relationship needs to turn around. And it's not just, you know, Republicans or Democratic constituencies that are being hurt by this trade deficit. It's a much broader sort of problem of macroeconomics and sort of engendering the real possibility for a pretty wrenching adjustment for the economy as a whole if this doesn't happen. And then in regards to the rest of the world, I mean, you've got this relationship, we've got this huge trade deficit, and what we need to have happen to reconcile it is for the dollar to lose some value against other currencies to make U.S. exports more competitive. And a bunch of countries around the world have sort of already done their share of that adjustment, or have at least started. I mean, if you look at the euro and the Canadian dollar, those currencies have gained a lot of value against the United States, and exports from Canada and from the euro area have suffered a bit and will suffer in the future because of it. So they're taking on some of the burden of that adjustment. And then you've got China, which has taken on none of that burden, and yet they're the single biggest bilateral trade deficit. So I think it's possible to convince other countries like the euro area and Canada that, look, this is not just the U.S. trying to beat up on China and trying to sort of, you know, pursue beggar thy neighbor policies against one country, China. This is more about that country taking on its fair share of adjusting away the U.S. trade deficit. And so I think that there's a lot of interest sort of around the world and across constituency groups that this is something that really needs to happen. And so I think a adept administration could definitely make that case and could convince people of that. And whether or not that describes this administration is a more open question.
And we'll take a longer discussion. I'm looking at this story, Dr. Scott, coming out of the UK, that the dollar is starting a big slide against major currencies. Will that have an impact on our ability if we have the political will and if we have the political capital to make this happen? Is that going to impact on our ability to reduce this deficit?
Well, this is exactly what needs to happen. The dollar needs to slide against other currencies. It needs to lose at least 30% of its value on average against the rest of the world. There's two ways that can happen. It can happen in an abrupt shock that tears through financial markets the way it did with Mexico and Argentina over the last 5 years, a number of other countries. Or we can bring it down gradually. If we have a shock, it's going to be very costly for the economy. It could push us into a deep recession. If we do it gradually, we should be able to weather the transition just fine. In terms of whether this reported devaluation weakens or strengthens our political capital, in some sense, it improves it. If China continues in its intransigence to refuse to revalue its currency, all of the rest of the pressure for adjustment will fall on other countries around the world, especially the UK and the countries in Europe, because they have a floating currency. At some point, it will simply be too costly for them to allow this to continue, and I think it will pressure them to join with us to put political pressure to bear on the Chinese. So I think,
what kind of time frame are we talking about? How long would it have to go on for them to feel the pain?
Well, they've already been feeling the pain. The euro has lost 25 or 30% value against the dollar since 2002, and it is having some impact on their ability to export goods to the United States. They're not growing at least as fast as they were in the late 90s. I think if their currency continues to fall, then at some point in the next year or two, it will behoove them to join forces with the U.S. and take on this Chinese problem.
Well, and Dr. Bivens, how long can the United States sustain this? How long can we stay in a place where we are with, again, the largest bilateral trade deficit in American history, $200 billion?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question. I would have said... We couldn't have sustained it this long. Mm-hmm. I would have said we probably should have seen an adjustment 2, maybe even 3 years ago. Economists are quite good at telling you when something cannot go on, but they're very bad at telling you when exactly it starts reversing. And so I think that's a big question. I think, you know, we have less time than we did 2 years ago, and we knew it was a problem then, and we sort of squandered a bit of time we could have used to been moving towards some kind of solution.
Well, I'm looking at this report that Dr. Scott wrote, and he attributes you with a great deal of input into this report. Have economists changed their way of evaluating trade deficits as a result of what's happened to China from 3 years ago when you all first when you first wrote this report? Do we see any changes in the way that they are saying things are going to happen in the future?
I mean, you've definitely seen a lot of debate in the profession about what exactly is going on and how it's all going to unwind itself. I mean, I think there's almost unanimous agreement. There's definitely some outliers that this is something that cannot go on. We can't keep running a trade deficit of 7% of GDP and growing. And so one way or another, it's going to unwind. And I think there's, you know, people sketched out a bunch of scenarios. One is private financial investors around the world look down the future and say, wow, the dollar has to fall a lot, and I don't want to be the one holding dollars when that happens. And you get this big rush to the door, and you've got a really abrupt fall in the value of the dollar. And it's sort of a scenario that Rob sketched out. The more hopeful one is that you get countries coming together, again, as Rob talked about before, sort of on the model of the Plaza Agreement in the 80s, and saying, let's do this gradually, orderly, let's get together and engineer a serious decline in the value of the dollar, 10% per year for years and years and years. I mean, it's taken us a decade to run up a trade deficit this big. It's probably going to take us about that long to get it back down to a manageable level.
And we need to hold that thought because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Josh Bivens, graduate research fellow for Congressional Research Center, and Dr. Robert Scott, senior international economist for Economic Policy Institute, both joining me from Washington, D.C. Taking a break. I'll be back.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Check out Awaken to Yourself, Tuesday mornings from 11 to 12, where we talk to artists and professionals about ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Go fish at one of the 32 fishing lakes at the August A. Bush Conservation Area in Wildwood. There's something for anglers of all ages. To make your fishing trip even easier, the Outpost Bait Shop is open for the season, offering bait and tackle, permits, ice, snack items, boat and motor rentals, and ATM, and much more. Bait Shop hours are from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week through October. Fishing news to you from WGNU.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts, and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
Need cash today? Visit MalsCash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Washington. A federal lawsuit has found massive fraud that caused the collapse of a program to use private security companies in order to protect infrastructure facilities in Iraq's oil and power domains. The program was known as Task Force Shield, and it paid two corporations nearly $150 million to train and equip tens of thousands of Iraqis to provide security for various installations. But fraud became rampant in the program because there was a lack of record keeping. And with continued insurgent attacks causing a continuing lag in oil production, it became apparent the program was not meeting with much success. The program was shut down in June of last year. Nearly 5,000 people who were hired for the program could not be accounted for, and neither could another 6,000 AK-47 rifles that had been purchased. Vehicles and computers that had been turned over to the Iraqis have also since disappeared. And Dateline Washington. Hundreds of soldiers who have been hurt in Iraq now have bill collectors after them because Uncle Sam claims they owe him money. A classic example is Specialist Tyson Johnson of Alabama. A mortar round exploded outside his tent, causing critical injuries to his kidney and head. After he almost died, he was forced out of the military, and then the Army demanded that he repay an enlistment bonus of $2,700 because he had only finished 2 of the 3 years he signed up for. When he couldn't pay, the Army turned the matter over to bill collectors, and they wound up trashing his credit to the point he had to live in his car because he couldn't pass a credit check to get an apartment. Another soldier lost a leg in a roadside bomb attack. By mistake, the Army continued to issue him combat paychecks totaling about $2,000. But now the Army wants the money back and has also handed the matter over to bill collectors. The Army says the injured get moved around so quickly that it's having trouble keeping the paper trail on them straight. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Need cash today? Visit MalsCash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Need to get it off your chest? 314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. The cure for the common cause.
Place your hand in your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare of Missouri and the Ad Council.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Don't forget, MELS, KCASH.com.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Big Up Call with Liz Brown.
I flew like a butterfly. I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it. Not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it, I'm not.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about China. We're talking about the $200 billion largest bilateral trade deficit in American history. My guest this morning, joining me from Washington, D.C., Dr. Robert Scott, Senior International Economist for Economic Policy Institute, and Dr. Josh Bivens, a Graduate Research Fellow for Congressional Research Center. And gentlemen, welcome back. Dr. Scott, I'd like to go back to you. I'm looking at this article coming out of the Hindu, and George Bush is quoted. He's talking to a magnet school in Rockville, Maryland, and he said that if you're living in Maryland, in Midland, Texas, or Montgomery County, it's important to understand that the new jobs will be going to China. Can you talk to us about what you believe is this administration's China policy? Because that's a bit surprising.
Well, I don't think they have a China policy, frankly. I think they, the Chinese president Hu Jintao was here last month, and for meetings with President Bush, and essentially nothing was achieved in terms of firm agreements to deal with any of the major issues that exist in the U.S.-Chinese relationship at this point.
Dr. Bivens, do you concur?
Yeah, I do. I would also just add, I mean, one reason why I think that the China policy of the Bush administration is so weak on economics is that you've got pretty powerful domestic U.S. actors who kind of like the way things are. I mean, you've got a lot of big U.S.-owned manufacturing companies who make a lot of money by producing in China.
And like Walmart.
Like the competitive exchange rate, so.
Like Walmart.
Yes. Well, they buy from China, but then you've got production, too. But, yes, Walmart surely likes an undervalued Chinese currency because they can buy lots of cheap stuff.
And in terms of the, we've talked about administrative will. What about congressional will? Where does Congress weigh in on this issue? Surely there's something that could be done congressionally to address this. And that's for either one of you.
Yeah, sure. Well, this is Rob Scott again. The Congress has several measures on the table in front of them. Which would attempt to address this problem. The most well-known, I think, is proposed by Senators Schumer and Graham, and it would impose a 27.5% tariff on imports from China if they don't do something to reduce the size of their trade deficit with the U.S. and revalue their currency. Unfortunately, those senators seem willing to drop that measure and to take it off the table literally at the drop of a hat every time they get some sort of nod from China that they might be thinking about doing something. They back off. For example, Senator Schumer went to China recently for a visit and had consultations with the Chinese and immediately announced he was going to pull the bill till September. So,
I guess we should have checked his suitcases when he came back.
Right.
What he got, the great deals he got up there.
So in short, they could do it, but they don't. They seem to lack the backbone.
And we only have a minute and a half left here. Dr. Scott, where can people get a copy of this report that you have written and any other information that you have written on the issue of China? Where can people go?
Well, we have a website. It's at epi.org. That stands for Economic Policy Institute here in Washington. So epi.org. If you go to the top, there's a trade button, a trade and globalization button, and they can look at all of our reports, including work done by Josh as well as myself.
Dr. Josh Bivens, any additional address information you would like to add?
No, I would recommend the EPI website, though.
Very good. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back nine inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's a low main.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air of the brothers.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from the ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Day six still waiting. The jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui is at it again today. ABC Stephen Portnoy has details from Washington.
If jurors can't make up their minds, the decision will be made for them. Without a death verdict, the judge will sentence Moussaoui to life in prison without parole. And that would trouble many people here near the Pentagon.
Death penalty.
All the way.
Right.
If he will go to prison, we will support him for the rest of his life.
But another woman opposes the death penalty on principle.
I feel it's wrong to kill.
And she says giving Moussaoui the death penalty would be giving the would-be martyr what he wants. Not hard to imagine that's a major sticking point in the closed-door jury room debate. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, near the Pentagon.
It's back to work and to school for millions of immigrants and their supporters who rallied and staged boycotts nationwide yesterday. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Chicago, where 400,000 demonstrated.
The so-called Day Without Immigrants succeeded in idling some meatpacking plants, closing some restaurants, and slowing sales at some landscape supply stores. But most businesses here that rely on immigrant labor managed to stay open. The Archbishop of Chicago, Francis Cardinal George, says the demonstration still made its point.
They are our brothers and sisters, worthy of respect, and we will find ways to welcome them and do so legally.
There was no call for a boycott here. Many employers gave workers Monday off so they could attend the rally. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Chicago.
State and federal officials will hear today from the families of the West Virginia coal mine explosion, one of the first issues to be addressed, the miscommunication that caused relatives to believe their loved ones had survived the January blast. It's over. A female corrections officer at a state prison in Tucson, Arizona is free. She'd been held by a male inmate for 6 hours last night.
He released her. She walked away. She's been reunited with her family. Of course, she is severely traumatized because we're talking about a six-hour standoff.
This is ABC News.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have access to internet tools to help you identify plan options that cover your current medications. Enrollment period ends May 15th, 2006. So come in today and ask the questions you need to decide which Part D prescription plan is best for you. Your trusted partners in health, Save-On and Osco pharmacies.
If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The Pure Pain Relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day. And when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
Can you imagine spending a week underwater? Well, that's what magician David Blaine is trying to do in an 8-foot tank filled with salt water. He went in yesterday and he says so far he's enjoying it, believe it or not, but he admits there is a little discomfort involved.
It feels like pins and needles all over, but it also feels like the flesh is starting to have little perforations or rips.
Well, before he surfaces, Blaine plans to break the world record for holding one's breath underwater while escaping 150 pounds of chains and handcuffs.
Waiter, I don't think I ordered this. That's probably what a diner at the TGI Fridays in Bloomington, Indiana, told a server. Might have been a little stronger, though. When he found a piece of a finger garnishing his hamburger, Bob Schmidt with the Monroe County Health Department says the chef apparently cut himself then.
When a server went to pick up the plate, went to provide the food, they just carried it out on the floor and gave it to the customer.
Well, the restaurants apologized, but some diners say they won't be eating there anymore. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, three people are charged in connection with the death last year of a 2-year-old girl in Jefferson County. Authorities say 2-year-old Cody Aston was staying with her father in DeSoto last February when she died of brain injuries that were believed to be the result of abuse. A family friend, Melissa Meinhardt of Bon Terre, was allegedly watching Cody at the time and is now jailed on charges of second-degree murder, child abuse, and endangering the welfare of a child. Meinhardt's mother, Pamela, and Cody's father, Brian Aston, are also charged with child endangerment. A round of spring storms leave some residents without power overnight. Ammer and UE crews are still working to restore electricity to about 2,000 customers in the St. Louis area. Yesterday's storms brought heavy rain and some large hail to much of the St. Louis area, along with wind damage and isolated reports of funnel clouds in the metro east. A break from the weather is on the way today, but more storms could move in after midnight. Finally this hour, efforts continue to keep Bell Fountain Rehabilitation Center open. Yesterday, family members of residents called a press conference in response to the Mental Health Commission holding hearings throughout the state this month to improve conditions at rehabilitation centers. Mickey Slauson, the president of the Parents Association of Bell Fountain Rehabilitation Center, says despite reports of abuse, the residents, including her daughter, are better served at these facilities as opposed to private group homes.
If it was so bad here, would we as parents who love our family member that's here, if it was as bad as they say, it would make us be monsters to put them in here and let them be mistreated and abused the way they say they are.
The hearings are in response to the deaths of Rudy Wallace this March and Michael Palmy last November at the Northwest Rehabilitation Center in Overland. State mental health officials will present a set of recommendations to Governor Matt Blunt after the hearings wrap up on May 23rd. This WGNU News report is brought to you by the MoDOT I-44 Improvement Project. MoDOT has begun improvements that will soon make I-44 smoother and safer. This will take time, so visit MoDOT.org before you hit the road to locate I-44 work zones. MoDOT.org, arrive alive. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, as road construction left lane is closed and traffic is bumper to bumper through Kings Highway. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Fortress. Stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 all the way into Mason Road. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 44 from 141 to Antire. Look for road construction left lane closed. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Hanley. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 onto the ramp to northbound Ladue. Look for slow traffic as well. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Very heavy volume there, as well as the westbound approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge and the westbound 64 at 55 at Bow Avenue all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Missouri Bank to Laclede Landing. Look for very slow goes there. And westbound East Bridge is slow halfway across the bridge into downtown. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's. Money's tight these days. Good thing you can get one of four tasty extra value meals like a Big Mac sandwich, medium fries, and a medium drink. All for under $4 every day. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 80 today. This evening, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a high around 70. and a chance for showers as well. Currently, we have 54 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 55, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. 1-877-920 is my number, and my email is revolution@lizbrown.com. And also, if you want to get to me, you can do that by emailing me, or you can check out my website at lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. And don't forget that the show is archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. That's WhiteRoseSociety.org. You need to get to me. I was watching, I was surfing the net, actually, and watching an excerpt from Stephen Colbert's appearance at one of those press club things where they bring the press in. They bring Bush in. Cheney doesn't come, of course. But folks are there. And one of the Stephen Colbert did a masterful job of illuminating the issues and showing the contradictions and exposing some problematic issues that have occurred as a result of this a wicked administration. One of the people that Stephen Colbert talked about was Tony Snow, the new spokesperson for the White House, replacing Scotty McClellan, who replaced Ari Fleischer. And Stephen Colbert said that the Secret Service has, you know how the Secret Service gives nicknames to, code names, if you will, to people that they are assigned to watch over. So that, I guess it's because if anybody's listening, they won't know who they're talking about when they refer to them with their code name. Well, the code name, according to Stephen Colbert, that the Secret Service has given to the new spokesperson for the White House is Tony Snow's, and code name is Snow Job. I think that's where we shall begin. We need to talk about the appointment of Tony Snow as the new spokesperson for the White House. The impact of that, what he brings to the table, what the nation will experience as a result of this selection, and what it says about this administration, the selection of such a person. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Washington, D.C., Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow with Media Matters for America. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk about Tony Snow, a.k.a. Snow a Job. Media Matters has taken some time to go through some of the things that Tony Snow has said in the past, comments that he's made, positions that he has taken. And so I'd like to kind of get your assessment of, I guess it's just an overview of the types of things that Tony Snow has said. Do we see a pattern in the statements that he has made? And are there some ones that we need to be particularly concerned about?
Well, he's certainly at times been critical of the Bush administration from the right. But I think that what's going to happen now is really not so much that he's not going to criticize the president, but in effect, he's going to be doing much the same thing from the podium of the White House briefing room as he was doing when he was on Fox News. As your listeners will no doubt know, any of them who have tuned into Fox News, it at many times is little more than a propaganda organ for the White House. And so it's really kind of a seamless web of propaganda, if you will, that runs between the White House and Fox News and conservative radio shows like Rush Limbaugh's and Sean Hannity's and you know, newspapers like the Washington Times. So it's really more of an interdepartmental transfer than anything. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things we're probably likely to see initially is that the press corps is going to give him rave reviews. Why? Well, because Scott McClellan was so hapless standing up there. He wasn't a very effective communicator. You could often tell when he was lying just by how uncomfortable he was. And Tony Snow is much more practiced. He's much smoother. He's been on television a lot. And so I think that what we're likely to see is that even though he'll be delivering the same spin that won't necessarily be any more honest than what Scott McClellan was saying, the press is likely to say, oh, isn't this great? What a breath of fresh air. Things have really changed at the White House. We've got this guy who's so much more artful about delivering that spin to us. Well, and I think that he's going to get those kinds of rave reviews.
Well, okay, you say the press is going to bring that to us. Is there a distinction to be made between the press corps that's sitting there and being shoveled the stuff and the press that's reporting on how great of a job that he's doing?
Well, no, and you have to understand what the Washington press corps' job is like. You know, it looks like a very glamorous position to be a member of the White House press corps. You know, you're right there at the center of power. You know, you stand in front of the White House if you're a TV reporter and give your reports with the dramatic backdrop behind you. But in fact, it can be a pretty boring job. If you're a White House reporter, basically you sit around and wait for the news to be fed to you, and there's not a lot of opportunity for independent reporting. And so there are some interesting dynamics that go on there. You get a group of people who are very high profile but don't have a lot to do, and sometimes they get surly. And I think what we saw with Scott McClellan was that they would sort of take out their frustrations on him. You know, this White House, from the beginning, their attitude toward the press has been one of unvarnished contempt. And they've bullied them and intimidated them, and I think it's certainly been effective at a lot of times in getting their spin out. But as a consequence, some of the White House reporters are sort of, they're sort of frustrated with this, but it doesn't really come through in their reports. When you read their reports, they're not really challenging the presumptions of the White House. They're not really asking those kinds of difficult questions that need to be asked. So they get into the White House briefing room with Scott McClellan. They kind of beat up on him a little bit and take out their frustrations. But then that doesn't change what actually comes through in their reports.
So now, are they going to be giving the guy that's shoveling them the stuff glowing reports?
I think they will, just because he's something new, and he's a more effective communicator, and, you know, as someone who's been working in the media for a long time, Snow knows how to deal with them in a more friendly way. But it won't make any kind of substantive difference unless there's a dramatic change in the actual communication strategy that the White House employs, if they're going to decide to be less secretive, if they're going to decide to be more open. I don't see that happening. So I think that substantively, nothing is really going to change, even though the style may change.
Well, here's my question, because, again, Media Matters for America has laid out quite a list of things that Tony Snow has said, positions that he has taken, and as I read through them, I see that there is appears to be a certain willingness to ignore what the facts are. That's going to be something that he brings to this job, isn't it? I mean, while he's a smoother practitioner than Scott McClellan was, fundamentally he's going to have to be able to look you straight in the eye and lie to you. I mean, let's just keep it real.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see how the press reacts. You know, every press secretary has his own kind of style and his own relationship with the press. And what we saw, for instance, one of the differences between Ari Fleischer and Scott McClellan was that Ari Fleischer was rather shameless about lying. He would look you straight in the eye and lie to the reporters without anything different about his manner than when he was telling the truth. With Scott McClellan, it was always obvious. You know, he wasn't a very good liar, and he was uncomfortable, and he would look down at his feet and shuffle and just be very visibly uncomfortable in delivering dishonest spin day after day. And I think that made him an easy target. I think what we're going to see with Snow is that as somebody who's been spending many, many years dishing out spin on television, he's probably going to be closer to Fleischer than to McClellan. And it remains to be seen how the press reacts to that.
Well, I am an attorney, and I know that within the legal world, you know, people that want to go from being a lawyer to be a judge, one of the things that is assessed of them is their temperament. And my question to you is that, yeah, Tony Snow, I suspect will be able to deliver the lies with the same effectiveness or smoothly as Ari Fleischer did, but the job that he had with Fox left him largely unchallenged. He never brought serious progressive or serious liberal people to talk to. He brought softballs, or he went unchallenged. He will be challenged in this position. Does he have the temperament to be able to respond to in a way when he's gone for years and years and years without having been challenged?
I think so, and I think that we may be overestimating a little bit the degree to which the press corps is really going to challenge him. I think one of the problems with the press corps today is that they don't act together. You know, one reporter may ask a tough question, and the the person on the podium can sort of dodge it and then get away with it by calling on somebody else who will ask a completely different question and not follow up with the first one and say, wait a second, you didn't answer that question.
Mm.
So if the reporters would kind of work together some more, they could do a better job at getting those answers out. But, you know, every reporter in the room has their own agenda, the things that they want to talk about. And there are a lot of techniques that can be used. You know, like there's a radio reporter named Les Kingsolving who is kind of a little bit of a nut, and the press secretaries have in the past used him as sort of a foil. When things got tough, they could call on him, knowing that he would ask a completely kind of wacky non sequitur of a question that would change the subject entirely, and that's how they could sort of wheedle out from having to ask a tough question.
Well, Paul, how do you get into this exclusive club, this press corps, this Washington Press Corps club? How does someone as nutty as that get in and other people don't?
Well, you have to be from what the White House considers to be a legitimate news organization. And you apply for credentials, and if they say, you know, this is a news organization, then they'll let you in. And you're supposed to pass a security check. But, you know, one thing that we saw with the whole Jeff Gannon affair that some people might remember is
the porn guy.
Yeah, he was he worked for this very conservative website, and it turned out was using a false name and had been a prostitute in his past, and he was asking these incredibly softball questions of the press secretary. You know, why is it that President Bush is so fantastic and wonderful?
why is that?
Exactly. So it turned out that like I said, he was using a phony name, and his supposed news organization was this extreme right website. So that indicated that the standards may have been a little lax if you were on the right side of the aisle. But hopefully, you know, I mean, there are legitimate progressive news organizations that can get in to be part of the White House press corps. I think a lot of them sometimes just don't bother. But.
Well, I've had guests on my show that have talked about coming from press organizations, people of African descent, that they can't get the credentials. They cannot get into those press meetings.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, it's at the White House's discretion, and if they decide that they're going to shut you out, then they have the ability to do that. And that's been something that this White House has really used to its advantage. You know, when they first came in, they really undertook almost a campaign of intimidation against the reporters. If you wrote something that they didn't approve of, sometimes people would get on a blacklist, and nobody in the White House would talk to them for a certain period, maybe a week or two. And if you're a White House reporter and no one in the White House will talk to you, then you can't do your job. You can't write your stories. You can't get sources to give you the information you need to write to do your job. And that is something that is very intimidating to reporters. If they can't do their jobs, then they're in real trouble. And so the White House has used that to their advantage. So it's not surprising to hear those stories.
Has anybody done an analysis of the people that were let in to ask questions in previous administrations and whether they've been cut out in this administration? Do we know? Is there a real difference in the people that have access now?
I don't think anyone's actually undertaken that effort to figure that out. But you know, they can also. There are also other ways. You know, they just don't have to call on you if you're in the briefing. That's what happened with Helen Thomas, who is the dean of the White House Press Corps, has been reporting on presidents, I think, since the Kennedy administration, and for about 3 years since she had been writing things that were very critical of the administration, they just never called on her, even though it had been a long-standing tradition that she always got to ask the first question in every briefing because she was the longest-serving member of the press corps. And they just shut her out because they didn't like the things that she was writing. So, you know, they cannot let you in the building, and then they cannot answer your questions once you're in the building. There are a number of things they can do.
Well, they cannot answer your question. They cannot allow you to ask a question.
Exactly.
So let's talk about some of the things that Tony Snow has said. Because, again, your organization, Media Matters for America, has revealed some of the falsehoods, as you call them, even more Tony Snow falsehoods. And, again, back to my original question of a pattern. Do we see a pattern within some of these statements and some of these falsehoods that Tony Snow has engaged in as prior to his new gig?
Well, I think that what we see is that there's a certain kind of playing fast and loose with the truth. That there's a willingness on his part, as there is in much of the right-wing media, to sort of let the facts slide, if you will, if they're not very convenient. I think that that's something that we see, that we at Media Matters see across the right-wing media. You know, we're not out there saying that there's kind of a vast conservative conspiracy to infect the media with conservative ideas, but there is a tolerance, particularly in places like Fox News, this former employer, to let the facts slide if they're not convenient. They don't really line up with the world as they would like it to be. You know, you mentioned that Stephen Colbert routine at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. One of the things that he said at one point, a very biting critique, was that Bush doesn't pay attention to reality because reality has a well-known liberal bias.
Yeah, I like that one. That was one of my favorites.
And so, you know, I think that that's something that that we see on the right from people like Snow, that if there's a talking point that gets circulated around, even if it's deceptive, they'll use it if it's to their advantage.
But, Paul, there is an agenda to this. This isn't random stuff, facts that they are ignoring. It's not, I mean, when you have Tony Snow claiming that both Carter and Bush authorized warrantless surveillance of U.S. citizens, there's a reason behind that. Because,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's not simply ignoring the truth on that. It is part of an agenda to make it not seem as bad that Bush is doing it.
Yeah, and let's take that issue. You know, he said that, and he also said that Democrats don't think that the government should be able to spy on Al Qaeda.
And could you hold that thought, Paul? Because we have to take a break. I'm talking to Paul Waldman, senior fellow with Media Matters for America. We're talking about the newest representative for the press spokesman for the White House, Tony Snow. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
It's Kevin
and Sue McCarthy
of the Travel Planning Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather@yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, my name is Cheryl.
Hi, my name's Doe.
And we are the hosts of the new Crime Time Live talk show on WGNU.
Do you have a question that you've been dying to ask a private investigator?
We will take your questions and discuss topics that you won't want to miss every Monday night at 10.
Need to get a background check?
How do you protect yourself when looking for Mr. and Mrs. Wright?
Can't find someone that owes you money?
Find out how on Crime Time Live, Monday nights at 10.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Westbound Florissant at 270, there's an injury accident on the ramp to westbound 70, eastbound 40. At Van Deventer, the road construction left lane is closed, and traffic is bumper to bumper through Kings Highway. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason 8. Traffic's easing. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and 44. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 40 at Market Street exit is closed for maintenance work. Westbound 40 from Hampton to Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is on the ramp to Ladue. Look for slow traffic there as well. Southbound 270 at McKelvey and Page, there's slow traffic, and all the approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that thousands of termites could be attacking your home and you don't even see them until the damage is done? The Orkin Man knows. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN and get your free home inspection today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers. After midnight, low in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, look forward to mostly cloudy skies, a chance for showers with a high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, pretty much the same, chance for showers and a high around 70. Currently, we have 54 degrees under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. It's as simple as going into a chat room and starting up conversations. Chatting seems safe to them, so they're much easier to approach than they would be in person. Once we start chatting, I act as cool and understanding as possible. I wait out their suspicions. The longer we talk, the more they trust me. Usually it doesn't take all that long. When they send me their picture, I tell them how hot they are. A lot of girls have never had a guy tell them they're beautiful or special or smart, so they eat it up. After I have them convinced we're soulmates and I should be their boyfriend and all that, I ask them to meet in person. The trick is never saying we have to meet. You ask them, make it seem like it's their choice. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn how you can protect yourself from online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Do you ever wonder about that weird noise your car is making or about what's leaking under your car while you're parked? Do you worry about your car quitting on you while you're driving? And do you know what simple things you can do to keep your car running at its best or how to do them? I'm Cheryl Moody, inviting you to tune in for the answers to these questions and to discuss the car issues that matter most to you. Let's go under the hood on Tuesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Time has come today. Young hearts can't go their way. Can't put it all another of a say.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow with Media Matters for America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C., and we're talking about Tony Snow, or Snow Job, to his friends. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking about some of the falsehoods articulated by Tony Snow and the impact of those, starting with claiming that Carter and Bush had both authorized warrantless surveillance of U.S. citizens.
Right. Now here's what happens when this kind of a thing goes down. Basically, the Republicans decide on a couple of major talking points that they're going to use. And they will push them out through every means they have available, which means from the White House, from their allies at places like Fox News, where Tony Snow used to work. And it really shows the power of repetition, that you hear these kinds of allegations over and over and over, and sometimes the talking points are completely false. And what we've seen with Tony Snow is that he's been eager to pass them on even when they are false. So when the warrantless wiretapping was revealed, what we saw from the Republican side was a series of really false talking points, like the idea that Carter and Clinton had authorized this kind of warrantless surveillance, that Democrats were arguing that we shouldn't be spying on Al-Qaeda, when, of course, they were just arguing that Bush should obey the law and get warrants. And what we see with Tony Snow is, like many other people, he was perfectly willing to pass these along, even when they were obviously false. And I think that what this demonstrates is that if you're shameless enough, then you can really have a political impact if you get everybody on your side to kind of stick to the same talking points, sing from the same hymnal, that you really can move the ball down the field, so to speak, and have an effect in those kind of propaganda wars. And it doesn't necessarily matter in the end if you were telling the truth or not, but what we at Media Matters try to do is to make it matter, to point out and correct when people are not telling the truth. And what we've identified with Tony Snow is that he's been one of the essential parts of that whole propaganda machine.
And not only did he have his birch from the Fox News seat, but he also wrote columns as well. So he had kind of a double impact, because he wrote that Guantanamo was the most humane prisoner of war facility in history. Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that's a horrible statement either way.
Yeah, and not only did he have a perch on Fox News and his syndicated column, he also had a radio show. And so he was really one of the real stars of the right-wing propaganda machine. And so he had lots and lots of different places to pass on those kinds of arguments. Even though you can find a couple of places where he may have criticized the administration for not being conservative enough, I think what you'll find is that the things he's going to be saying from the White House are not going to be all that different from the things he was saying when he was a commentator.
Do you find it revealing that, or should we make much of the fact that George Bush, when he introduced Tony Snow to the world as his new press secretary, he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, that he dislikes you all as much as I do. Should we make much of that? I mean, does that say it all right there?
Well, you know the old expression that many a truth is said in jest. I think that Bush is trying to show that he has a sense of humor about this issue, but the fact is that's really true. And the White House's attitude toward the press corps has been really one of undisguised contempt from the moment they took office. They don't really believe that the press has a legitimate role to play in the operation of democracy. They don't feel that they're under any obligation to inform them of what's going on with the government. And I think it's symptomatic of a larger problem. You know, there was an article in the Boston Globe the other day going through and analyzing how President Bush has basically decided for himself that he can ignore almost any law that he pleases.
And the smug and tricky way that I've never vetoed anything. Well, you don't have to if you change the law after you sign it.
Yeah, and it's really quite an extraordinary assault on the very foundations of democracy. But this White House has always felt that those kinds of decisions were theirs and theirs alone to make, and nobody, not the courts, not the press, not the public, has any right to question it. And so, their attitude toward the press has been, I think, just one piece of a larger attitude they have toward anyone who might stand in their way, which is that President Bush's powers are essentially unlimited. He can do whatever he wants, and no one has the right to question him. And if you do question him, then you must hate America.
And I want to play a clip of a particular Tony Snow comment that is I'd like you to analyze it. Take a listen to this.
Here's the unmentionable secret. Racism isn't that big a deal anymore. No sensible person supports it. Nobody of importance preaches it. It's rapidly and thankfully becoming an ugly memory.
Now, it's a kind of a nicely phrase statement that nobody administrates it, but the fact of the matter is what, Paul? I mean, what should we make of this statement about his dismissal of racism?
Well, you know, you can sort of trace the line of conservative thinking from the point where racism was acceptable for more to be expressed openly by people in public forums, and the same people who were opposed to dismantling Jim Crow. Then when that was something that you couldn't state publicly, then they were opposed to affirmative action. And now I think that's a very interesting sort of line to take, and there are probably a lot of people on the right who take that line, that we don't have to do things like affirmative action anymore because there's no more racism. And if it's not okay for somebody to come out and, you know, make racist statements, if a politician can't do it, then there must be no more racism. But, you know, interestingly enough,
despite Bennett and despite Pat Roberts.
Absolutely. And, you know, if people go to MediaMatters.org, there's a lot of incidents that we've cataloged. And, you know, the Duke Rape case is something that that brought out from a lot of conservative quarters a racism that perhaps had been lingering. From people like Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and a lot of places.
I think it was just been checked. I think that the Duke rape case has given them from their perspective, a forum to express what they've kept checked largely checked. It's given them a forum to express some of that. Particularly from the comments made from Rush Limbaugh. But we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Paul Waldman, Senior Fellow with Media Matters for America. I'm Liz Brown, and we're talking about the appointment of Tony Snow as a new press secretary. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
The fight against arthritis isn't a walk in the park, but it's a start. Arthritis affects 66 million adults and is the nation's leading cause of disability.
I'm Tammy, and I have rheumatoid arthritis. Walking for me can be a struggle, but I don't have to walk alone.
Join an arthritis walk team in your community today to help the Arthritis Foundation improve lives and find a cure. For more information, visit arthritis.org.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, local news update.
Deadline, Louisiana.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Luena. About 20,000 people have become infected with cholera in Angola, and close to 1,000 deaths have been reported. Health officials say several hundred new cases are being reported each week, and it is believed the peak of the epidemic has yet to be reached. The United States has spent a substantial amount on foreign aid in Angola, but unfortunately very little of it has gone to health programs. The bulk of the American money has gone to encourage commerce development and to lobby and engage government institutions into developing a market-oriented economy. And Dateline Rio de Janeiro. Word from Brazil that President Evo Morales has ordered a government takeover of all oil and gas reserves in Bolivia. Morales says foreign producers have to give up control of all fields and that future sales have to be transacted through the state-owned energy company. Morales says the foreigners have 6 months to create new contracts with the government or get out. Bolivia has the second largest natural gas reserves in Latin America. Last year, the country mandated a substantial increase in the royalties paid by foreign companies in order to continue operating in Bolivia. Some industry analysts say this move will scare away investors and put the economy of the entire region at risk. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, this is Phil Wilson.
And, of course, I'm George Cotton Sr.
Listen to The Real Deal with George and Phil every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. for controversial and thought-provoking radio.
That's right. In addition to national advice on law and health, you can also expect some of the most ridiculous comments heard anywhere on radio.
Yeah, and you say most of them.
Yeah, I've heard that a couple times or two.
The Real Deal with George and Phil. Tune us in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on WGNU.
Art and Soul Cafe kicks off its Flower Festival weekend at Christ Church Cathedral with its Evolution in Nature event on Friday evening from 7 to 10. Admission is $12 to $15 per person. Art and Soul Cafe takes place on the first Friday of the month from September through June. For more information, call 314-231-3454. Art and Soul news to you from WGNU.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I am talking this morning to Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow with Media Matters for America. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about Tony Snow. Paul, I have followed Media Matters for America for a long time, and the stories, and I'm on your email service, and does it seem like the pattern or the stories or the recklessness with the truth is getting worse? Does it seem like it's getting worse to you or more frequent?
I don't know that it's getting worse. I think that maybe we're paying more attention to it these days. And I think that's a good thing. You know, for a long time, Republicans and conservatives complained a lot about the media. And they set up organizations to monitor the media and to pressure the media and accuse them of having a liberal bias. And progressives didn't really do that for a long time, and that's what why Media Matters was created, to correct that. And what we find when we monitor the media every day is a few things. First of all, we find that deceptive talking points coming from the right wing find their way through the mainstream media, not necessarily through any kind of ill intent on the part of reporters and editors, often through laziness or whatever the reason is. Those kind of deceptive talking points are worming their way through the mainstream media. We also find that there's a lot of deception that goes on in the conservative media. And we also find, finally, that there are some things that are truly shocking that go on. And, you know, we put up a couple of different kinds of things on our website. We have what we call items, where we see something that a false claim and we document it and correct it and show what the truth is. But we also have what we just call clips, which are, you know, here's something that Rush Limbaugh said today that might shock you. And what we found is that those are some of the most popular things, because people didn't really know. You know, Rush Limbaugh had a lot of listeners, and there are a lot of other hosts on radio and television who have their audiences, but people who don't listen don't really know what goes on there. And when you actually point it out to them, they're amazed. And so, you know, we've gotten some of the biggest attention for things that really didn't take long to do. You mentioned William Bennett when he said that you could reduce crime by aborting every black baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that he got attention because we put it up on our website. We heard it. We did a little, put up the clip, and people said, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. That's happened on a number of occasions.
Well, like when Rush Limbaugh called the rape victim a hoe.
Yeah, exactly. Or Pat Robertson saying that Hugo Chavez should be assassinated.
Right.
You know, these kinds of things went on before, but nobody outside of the audiences of those particular individuals really knew about it. And so when you bring them to wider attention, people really begin to get the true picture of what the right-wing media are like.
And I guess it's also the patterns of it and the frequency of it and the shamelessness of it.
Yeah, and hopefully we can help to impose some kind of a cost on deception. You know, I think that to a great extent, the press, one of the ways that they fail to do their jobs is that they don't really punish politicians for lying. And the only way that they're going to be, that politicians are going to stop lying, is if there's a cost to it. And if reporters are just going to say, you know, today the Bush administration said that the moon is made of green cheese, and the Democrats say that it isn't, but nobody really knows what the truth is, then there's no real cost to saying that the moon is made of green cheese.
Or the Democrats don't say that it's not.
Right. If they're just going to present that he said, she said, then the people who are willing to lie know that that it's not going to cost them anything to lie, because they're not really going to get punished for it. So our hope is that we can help to encourage the press and the public to impose a cost on them for it.
And are you having an impact out there? How is your relationship with, now I can't even think of his name, the talk show host, the radio, or the television talk show host,
Bill
O'Reilly. That's who I'm, you know, I think they call that repression. How's it going?
Well, you know, we have some good relationships with reporters who realize that we have good intentions and are not trying to just get people angry at them. But Bill O'Reilly is sort of a unique case. He provides us something to fodder for our site every single day between his TV show and his radio show and his column. And I have to say, if there's nothing else that Media Matters accomplishes, we appear to be driving him insane. He calls us a left-wing smear site. simply because we put up the things that he says and correct them when they're wrong.
But he won't let you on the show, which is a hoot.
To me,
that's the funniest part of all. Okay, well then take him on.
Yeah, we've asked him a number of times to let either our CEO or somebody else, like myself, come on the show, and he absolutely refuses. And the interesting thing is that when he wants someone on his show to yell at them, and they decline to come on, he calls them a coward. Well, you know, that can reflect back on him, too.
And, Paul Waldman, tell us where we can find Media Matters for America.
It is at mediamatters.org.
Very good. Paul Waldman, Senior Fellow with Media Matters for America, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We'll be back to talk about why your oil is so high and how the oil companies are lying to you about that. Stay with me. I'll be back after the break.
You were born with
some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I remember a train that progress was being made. If you pick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Think about all the time you spent in geography class back when you were in school. Well, it's a whole new world. And a study out today shows most young Americans don't know where most of it is. Here's ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Despite saturation news coverage of Hurricane Katrina,
our Gulf Coast is getting hit and hit hard.
Nearly a third of Americans between 18 and 24 can't find Louisiana on a map. And despite 3 years of war in Iraq,
exploded in one of Baghdad's most
6 in 10 can't find that country on a map. The Roper poll for National Geographic found repeated examples of what it calls geographic illiteracy among young adults. National Geographic plans a 5-year campaign aimed at school kids, intended to open more eyes to the world around them. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The millions of people who took part in yesterday's immigrant rallies and boycotts said they'll keep the pressure on lawmakers as they consider immigration reform. Then again, the date for the event certainly got some people's attention.
The selection of May 1st is the date for this demonstration, International Workers' Day, which is a primarily socialist, leftist, commemorative day in many quarters of the world. It's an unfortunate choice.
That's CNN's Lou Dobbs. Day 6, still no verdict. ABC's Pam Coulter now with more on today's deliberations in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui.
The jury has not told the judge it's having trouble reaching a decision, but one former prosecutor said the Moussaoui prosecutors may be getting a little nervous that it's taking so long. The panel's deliberated the life or death issue for about 29 hours over 5 days, and while they may be carefully going over the 42-page verdict form, some experts say the lengthy deliberations may be a sign of a split or dissension among jurors.
The jury will give Moussaoui either life in prison or the death penalty. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow is up 26 points in early going. The NASDAQ is ahead by 3. This is ABC News.
If you're an adult age 65 and up, you've probably heard about the new prescription drug benefits available to you with the new Medicare Part D. You've probably also got a lot of questions. Your Save-On and Osco pharmacists have access to internet tools to help you identify plan options that cover your current medications. Enrollment period ends May 15th, 2006. So come in today and ask the questions you need to decide which Part D prescription plan is best for you. Your trusted partners in health, Save-On and Osco pharmacies.
If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The pure pain relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day. And when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
She made aviation history, and now Eileen Collins is moving on to something else. Here's ABC's Karen Chase.
She has traveled from Earth into space after another long journey from a childhood in the projects in upstate New York to Syracuse University to the Air Force. Astronaut Eileen Collins is hanging up her wings, saying she wants to spend more time with her family and pursue other projects. Not only was Collins the first female to command a space shuttle, she also piloted the first shuttle back into space after the Columbia disaster. Collins says she leaves NASA with great memories, but also great expectations for the country's future in space. Karen Chase, ABC News.
Parents may say they like the idea of their kids taking a limousine to and from the high school prom so the teens won't drink and drive. Well, some Florida high schoolers got something a little bit different. A driver who was tipsy by the time she picked him up, and she was driving erratically, so they made her pull over and they called the police. That driver is now in jail. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, three people, including a 2-year-old girl, remain hospitalized as police continue to seek the suspect who shot them. Authorities say the victims were shot in a car at Lee and Warren late Sunday night. The child and an 18-year-old woman are reported to be in serious but stable condition. A 22-year-old man is listed in critical but stable condition. No arrests have been made. Most St. Louis area activists choose to sit out as thousands across the nation take to the streets in the National Day Without Immigrants. Marches and boycotts took place from Los Angeles to New York yesterday over proposed changes to U.S. immigration laws that would criminalize undocumented workers. Locally, a few did gather to express their support for immigrants at a discussion group at Tower Grove Park. One of the event organizers, who wishes to be identified only as J.R., says he hopes to increase the amount of discussion about the precariousness of the workers' everyday lives.
The reason why a lot of people are anti-immigrant is because they use that excuse to say these people are taking our jobs, and they're not. It's the bosses that we should be fighting, not the immigrants.
Some area businesses chose to close their doors yesterday. Special church services were held throughout the metro area as well. Finally this hour, as the Department of Mental Health begins hearings on state-run rehabilitation centers, the department's head prepares to step down. Dorn Sheffman announced yesterday that he will retire effective July 1st. Sheffman became the department's director in December 2001. The State Mental Health Commission will begin searching for his replacement this month. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Orkin made Training Magazine's top 100 trained companies, which basically means Orkin men know bugs. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by RE/MAX. Westbound 270 between 367 and Old Halls Ferry. Look for an accident. Left lane is blocked. Westbound 44 at the Pacific Viaduct and Gray Summit. Look for an overturned vehicle in the median. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason Road. Dead traffic is returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. Look for slow traffic there as well. There's a number of areas where construction is going on, so use caution there as you roll up into those construction areas. All the approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are starting to slow down now. Southbound 270 at 70 and Page. Look for slow traffic going on there. And northbound Brentwood between 40 and Clayton. Look for a water main break, and that has traffic bunched up a bit. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local RE/MAX office. Are you heading home to a rental or your very own home? RE/MAX Heading Home will help you realize your dream of owning a home sooner than you think. To learn more, visit RE/MAXHeadingHome.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday, For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers with a low in the upper 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, a high in the mid-70s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a high right at around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 57 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the top of the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. This morning we're going to talk about something that's on the minds of every American out there. Everybody drives a car, everybody that rides in a car, everybody that can spell car. Gas prices on your mind. And we need to talk about why some people are paying $4 plus for a gallon of gas. To facilitate that conversation, joining us from Washington, D.C., Tyson Slocum, the Director of Energy Program for Public Citizen. Tyson, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am so well. Thank you.
So, $4 a gallon gas. Let me ask you this. Did you see Meet the Press on Sunday?
I did not.
It was the most surreal experience. They did an entire hour on why gasoline prices are so high. And everybody except for Senator Durbin said that this gas prices are so high because we don't have any oil refineries. Nobody wants an oil refinery in their backyard.
That's what everyone was saying?
That's what everybody was saying. They had the Secretary of Energy on there, and it's about not having enough refineries. And also, and in fairness to the oil industry, they said that when you really break down the profits that we've made, it's really pennies on the dollar. Because our industry is so big, then our profits are going to be so big. Can you address both of those?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, Ralph Nader was supposed to be on that Meet the Press show, and he couldn't make it, and he tried to get me on, but apparently they didn't want a young truth teller on that show. So,
at one point, Durbin was looking around and saying, am I the only person that realizes how the American people are being gouged here?
Yeah, apparently. Well, to get to the whole profits issue, the oil industry loves to say, we're really not making that much money. That $36 billion that ExxonMobil made in 2005, $8.4 billion that they made in the first 3 months of this year, you know, that looks like a big number, but our profits really aren't that big. And they say that they aren't that big because when you measure profits as a share of total sales, you know, they're making like 10% rate of return. But that's not what their profits really are. Because if you open up their annual report, when you look at the way the oil companies talk to the investors, to their shareholders, they don't use profits as a share of sales. In fact, the oil companies say the only way to measure true profitability of our industry is to measure our profits as a share of our capital investment.
Mm.
Because we're a capital-intensive industry. So what is the return on every dollar that we invest in our company? There you see, windfall profits.
Obscene profits.
Exactly. 46% profit margin in 2005 for ExxonMobil's U.S. oil production activities.
46%?
That's right. 59% profit margin on their U.S. oil refining operations. They are making huge amounts of money on their capital investment in the United States and around the world. It costs, on average, a company like ExxonMobil about $20 to extract a barrel of oil. They're selling it to the American public at more than $70 a barrel. They're clearing $50 profit on every barrel of oil sold. That, by definition, is a windfall profit, and all the reason why we need a windfall profits tax. Not to end the ability of those companies to make profits, but to say, you know what? Your profits are coming at the expense of our economic growth. They're coming at the expense of our ability to invest in alternatives and sustainable energy.
And you're also, you are impacting people's personal lives.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there are a billion small stories out here of how people can't do the things that they need to do to live with gas prices like this.
Exactly, Liz. This is not, ExxonMobil is not in the business of selling yachts or diamond rings. These are not luxury items.
No.
They are selling essential commodities that our citizens need in order to function.
And Tyson, shouldn't that be a factor in determining whether or not we watch these people closer, we tend to these people closer, and we punish these people when they engage in gouging like this, because they are not selling us diamonds. I don't have to have it. Well, I'm a woman. I do have to have diamonds, but maybe another example. But we don't. We have to have gasoline to do what we need to do.
Exactly. And hopefully, if we start making investments today, in the future we won't have to have gasoline. But the fact is, in 2006, we need it. As long as we need it, it is the government's obligation to regulate this industry better, to take a bigger portion of their record profits and use the proceeds of that windfall profits tax to invest in increasing investments in mass transit, in alternative fuels, in energy efficiency, in sustainable energy, in renewable energy, all of these things that are going to get us out of this energy crisis. But so far, this administration, this Congress, continues to give the oil industry a lot of immunity.
Well, two things that they didn't talk about on the Meet the Press that I think are really necessary to put out there, Tyson. Again, they went back and they said, we can't, there aren't enough refineries because nobody wants one in their backyard. And they didn't talk about all of the extraordinary gifts of tax credits that this administration has given these people.
Exactly. First of all, we haven't built any new refineries because the major oil companies haven't applied for a permit. They aren't interested in building new
refineries. What do you mean they haven't applied for a permit?
They haven't applied for a permit. They don't want to build new refineries. Look, for a company like ExxonMobil, they are making, like I said, a 59% rate of return on their U.S. oil refinery operation. They are making that much money because they make more money when supplies are tight. If they build a new refinery, you're going to create overcapacity, which is going to have a downward effect on prices, and it's going to harm their profit margins. And quite frankly, it is ludicrous to say that the most powerful, wealthiest corporation on earth, ExxonMobil, is somehow buckling under the burden of U.S. environmental laws. And that if only we were to gut our environmental laws to match those of Bangladesh so that these companies can more easily build refineries, that is just an offensive proposition.
It is insane. It is beyond insane. And isn't it also insane to be relying upon these guys to come up with alternative fuel sources?
Exactly. They're not going to.
No, why would they?
Exactly. They have, collectively, Liz, the largest oil companies have about $1 trillion of investment, of capital investment, in exploring for oil, getting that oil out of the ground, refining it, and selling it to us. They're going to squeeze every last dollar of profit out of that capital investment for as long as they possibly can. They are not interested in having a bunch of, you know, startup alternative fuel companies start competing for their business until they've squeezed out all the profit they can out of extracting oil. That is their business model.
But is there any other industry out there that our government relies upon to create competition like that? Because that's exactly what we're asking them to do, is to create competition when they're already making buku bucks. Is there any other industry out there that's supposed to do that?
I don't know of one.
That makes it even more obscene. Why would we be putting them in charge of coming up with another way to do it besides oil?
Exactly, and that's basically what the president said last week when he made that speech, and he said he acknowledged that oil companies are making record profits, and he said, look, the industry has an obligation to invest more of their record cash flows into investing in alternatives. And the oil company executives, they puffed on their cigars and they laughed out loud.
Oh, out loud.
Because
that'll happen.
The president was basically on his hands and knees begging them to invest in stuff that they're not going to invest in. The only way that these companies are going to invest in those things is to mandate it or to say we're going to enact a windfall profits tax and the government is going to take the proceeds of that tax and invest it in alternatives.
So talk to us about the extraordinary giveaways that this administration has provided to the oil companies.
How long do I have? About an hour?
As long as you want, Tyson.
All right. First of all, in August 2005, President Bush signed into law a huge energy bill, the most expensive energy bill in our nation's history. That energy bill adopted almost all of the recommendations of his vice president's energy task force. You
remember secret,
that?
The secret meeting in the White House.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Where they met privately with all sorts of energy company CEOs, and those energy company CEOs put together the nation's energy policy that then became the energy law that the president signed on August 2005. In that energy bill, he signed into law $5 billion of new subsidies to the oil companies.
Let me stop you just right there, Tyson. At the point that, at the moment in time that George W. Bush signed off on that piece of legislation, what were, where was, let's just say ExxonMobil, how was ExxonMobil doing in terms of profit?
Well, it was halfway through their year, and so they had about $18 billion worth of profit by August of 2005.
So at the moment he signed that bill, they were $18 billion into profit.
That's correct.
Okay.
So clearly, President Bush saw that and said, you know what, this industry is financially suffering. $18 billion is not enough. We need to push them over the edge and give them $5 billion in new subsidies paid for by you and I and all the listeners out there.
Well, in all fairness, Tyson, you know, you and I both know the rich have suffered enough.
They really have. And we have to just have faith in trickle down that that their spending and their generosity will just trickle down to the rest of us. And that is the most efficient use of taxpayer dollars. Give it to the wealthiest and pray that they spend it on us.
Well, it's trickle down, but it ain't rain, Tyson.
It ain't rain. It's actually a drought.
So they gave them that gift. What other gifts have they been given?
Well, they got all sorts of regulatory rollbacks because the oil companies were complaining about having to comply with America's environmental laws. So, for example, certain types of oil drilling is now completely exempt, thanks to President Bush, from the Safe Drinking Water Act. So that, previously, certain types of oil drilling had to comply with minimum water quality standards before they started to drill. Now they are exempt from those water quality standards because, you know, we don't want to burden these wealthy oil companies with, bothersome clean drinking water standards.
Would it be fair to say, Tyson, at the point of each one of these gifts of largesse from this administration to the oil, to the struggling oil industry, at each point in time that they were given these gifts, they were standing at record profits?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And then, to make matters even worse, there is this whole royalty relief scam.
Mm.
As part of the energy bill, President Bush signed into law about $1 billion in royalty relief. Because right now, previously oil companies had to pay taxpayers for the privilege of drilling on federal land. About one third of the oil and natural gas drilled in the United States comes from land owned by the taxpayers.
By us.
But increasingly, over the last several years, these oil companies, at a time of record profits, haven't been paying royalties.
They don't want to pay rent.
They are not paying a dime for the privilege of drilling, particularly in the Gulf of Mexico.
They don't want to pay rent for drilling on our land.
That's right.
They're saying that's too much of a burden to give them to pay rent. To drill on our, to get oil out of our land, and then
exactly.
And then overcharge us for it.
Exactly. So at a time when the federal budget under President Bush in 2006 is about $500 billion in deficit, such royalty payments would go to help close that deficit gap. But these oil companies are fighting it; they're refusing to contribute more.
How much money are we talking about in royalty payments a year?
Well, the New York Times estimated about $11 billion in royalty payments over the next couple of years.
And that would be split up between?
Between all the major oil companies. I mean, the oil companies are the ones that are the major drillers of oil and natural gas.
So about how many companies are we talking about?
Well, there's probably about 100 or so major ones, but you've got, the market is dominated by five or six, like ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, Chevron, Texaco, the big major oil companies.
And George Bush gave this away to them.
Well, he signed a new round. Mm-hmm. In all fairness, the original royalty relief problem originated at the end of the Clinton administration, when some Clinton administration officials at the Department of Interior did kind of a clerical error and failed to include a safety net for the royalty relief program. Typically, when you enact a royalty relief program, you put a ceiling on it, saying, well, if oil prices go above $50 a barrel, then you're no longer entitled to this royalty relief. These Clinton administration officials failed to do that, and the oil companies were all too eager to exploit that loophole. But it's gotten worse under the Bush administration because he signed into law last year an expansion of this royalty relief boondoggle.
So what is Congress doing in response to this? Well, in particular, let's talk about the royalty issue, because I know that, some members of Congress have been trying to articulate this issue. So how's it going on that issue?
We're making some progress on it. I think that some members of Congress recognize the outrageousness of allowing these oil companies to escape paying their fair share of royalties, allowing these oil companies to enjoy huge tax breaks. So members of both parties in Congress are now right now proposing closing some of these loopholes. The Republicans are proposing closing about $2 billion worth of these loopholes. The Democrats are putting about $16 billion on the table in closing these loopholes. So the Democrats are being far more aggressive, and I think that we are going to see some action in Congress in closing some of these loopholes that oil companies are exploiting.
People are saying, I hear from the major media, from the larger media out there saying that, you know what, there's really nothing that George W. Bush can do. That he has no ability to impact on the price of the gas that you put into your car. True or false, Tyson?
That is totally false. The president can do a ton of things. First of all, if the president were to get up there today and say, you know what, the price of oil is skyrocketing because people are worried about increased demand, and everyone points the blame at China and India, but the bottom line is the United States drives global demand. One out of every four barrels of oil is consumed in the United States every day. And if the president were to get up there and say all of that and say, for the first time in 20 years, we are going to get serious about reducing demand in the United States, I propose increasing fuel economy standards to 40 miles a gallon over the next 5 to 10 years. That will reduce our oil consumption by one-third, which would eliminate the need for us to import any oil from the Middle East. That would immediately send oil prices on the energy trading exchanges down, because the energy traders and everybody would finally say, you know what, the United States gets it now. We need to use oil more efficiently. And the second thing the president could do is say, we are going to implement a windfall profits tax on these wealthy oil companies and capture a portion of those record profits and use the proceeds of that tax to invest in solving America's energy crisis. We're going to invest more heavily in mass transit. We're going to invest more heavily in alternative fuels, in building the alternative fuel infrastructure like new pipelines for ethanol. We are going to invest in energy efficiency, give bigger rebates and grants to households and to small businesses to weatherize their homes so they're more energy efficient. We're going to give bigger incentives to produce more fuel efficient and hybrid cars. All of those things would be a great step in the right direction to solving America's energy crisis, but that's not what the president's doing.
And we have to take a break. We will be back. Tyson, you can spend a few more minutes with us, can't you?
I would be happy to.
Very good. Tyson Slocum, Director of Energy Program for Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. This is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Yes, I think I'm going out of my head.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. That's right. 2 to 5 every weekday. I look forward to hearing from you. If you have any problems with a personal work or family relationship, give me a call at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU. For the personal issues that matter most, call me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol and Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Steck.
When it rains, all my friends go away. Mommy's scared of the sky.
What's going on in the mind of a child who's lived through a hurricane?
You can cry in your bed if you fall asleep.
A lot. Talk to them. Reassure them. We can help. Call 1-800-789-2647. Trained and caring people are ready to assist you. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
Don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom. Peace and all the great things that we take advantage of.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. I'm talking to Tyson Slocum, Director of Energy Program for Public Citizen. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Tyson, welcome back.
Thanks.
And I don't know. I was cussing and throwing stuff at the television as I was watching Meet the Press on Sunday. One of the things that they were saying is that as they did this whole roundtable with oil industry friends there, they said that a lot of the problem, the reasons why gasoline prices are so high, is because of what we as Americans do. What's our role in the $4 a gallon gasoline? What do we contribute to that?
Like I was saying earlier, I mean, Americans use one out of every four barrels of oil consumed in the world every day, and Americans are getting less efficient at consuming oil. A lot of that has to do with our love affairs with SUVs. In 2006, the average car and truck on the road gets 21 miles a gallon. In 1988, the average car and truck on the road got 22 miles a gallon. Mm-hmm. So we're getting worse gas mileage today than we were almost 20 years ago. That's an embarrassment. So we're, consumers are to blame for that. But the fact is that the oil companies are definitely exploiting the situation. They're price gouging Americans. They're charging extremely high prices, and that's why they're recording record profits.
Talk to us about some, and when we were talking about the giveaways, there are giveaways on every type of energy that we have out there. Well, there's giveaways on the on electric power subsidies, on nuclear power subsidies, on coal. They're getting all of these amazing subsidies, aren't they? And we're talking billion-dollar subsidies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's because energy companies And their lobbyists give so much money to politicians. Just the oil industry, for example, has made $58 million in campaign contributions since 2001, with 81% of that $58 million going to Republicans. They've got an army of lobbyists. I mean, seriously, there are so many energy lobbyists here that if you got them all together, they could probably successfully invade some country, especially with the money that they have. And what that campaign money, what those lobbyists get these energy companies are huge levels of subsidies. The Government Accountability Office, which is the research arm of the U.S. Congress, did a study last year showing that three-quarters of all of the federal energy subsidies goes to fossil fuel companies. So the subsidy program that the taxpayers support goes to support energy producers, because energy producers are the ones that lobby Congress, that have bought off Congress. And it is consumers and environmentalists that are left with nothing.
Is there an entity within the government that says, okay, we've given you gazillion dollars for subsidies? Is there an entity that says, okay, let's see what we got on our return of this and then reconsider this subsidy?
There needs to be an analysis of what we're getting for this. I think that the main analysis would just be, what are the profits of the industry? When you get to control natural resources like coal and oil, and you are selling them for huge prices and you're having huge profits, and then on top of it, you get to deduct all sorts of tax breaks and things like that, so you don't even pay your fair share of taxes, that's going to help your bottom line even more.
One of the things that we've been given, in all fairness to what people are trying to do, the Republicans have come up with the idea of giving us $100 to help us with our the taxes for a month's worth of gasoline.
Yeah.
How's that working?
Well, what the politicians are, it was Senator Bill Frist, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, who came up with this idea to give everybody $100. I think that what he thought is, because he and his colleagues are so easily bought off by oil companies, they thought that the American people could be bought off by $100 each.
Even Rush Limbaugh said, what, they think we're prostitutes?
Exactly.
I mean, that's how bad it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's the world that the politicians live in. They're used to, you get money and you vote because of that money you get.
And also, in all fairness, too, they say that you just get a little bit of money, because given what the profits the energy industry has made this year, the few little million dollars they spend is pennies on the dollar.
Exactly. So that proposal is going nowhere. We don't support it, because that's not substantive reform. I'd much rather see new revenues go to actually solving America's energy crisis, not trying to buy off voters in advance of the November elections.
And I heard also a lot on the show and a lot throughout the media, the words Venezuela, the words Iran, the words those two, and also Nigeria, being used out there as reasons for the predicament that we're in right now.
That's not entirely accurate. First of all, there's no way that the United Nations Security Council is going to impose an oil embargo on Iran. That would hurt the members of the UN Security Council more than it would hurt Iran.
Mm.
A lot of countries are dependent on Iranian oil. The United States is not among those, because ever since the Iranian Revolution of 1979, the United States has imposed a full embargo on all Iranian products. So we don't get any Iranian oil anyway. Venezuela, you know, there's nothing going on there that is going to disrupt oil supplies. Bolivia just nationalized their energy industry. That's not going to disrupt supplies.
Because we don't get a lot of gas or oil from Bolivia.
Yeah, we don't. The U.S. companies really don't have a major presence there anyway. So a lot of this is just pure speculation.
But isn't it also distraction? I mean, it's more than speculation, isn't it? They're looking for the boogeyman. They're looking for the oil boogeyman out there, and it's useful to bring up the name of Venezuela. It's useful to bring up Nigeria. It's useful to bring up other countries out there to distract us from looking these oil Exxon in the face and saying, you're just greedy beyond belief.
Exactly.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Dimitri, you have a question for our guest, Tyson Slocum.
Yes, I do, Liz. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Slocum, I entirely and categorically refuse to accept your commentary on how to solve this energy crisis.
Okay.
And if I may, I'll use a metaphor to describe what I think you're saying. Someone eats a piece of pizza, and he knows pizza upsets his stomach. So instead of stop eating pizza, he buys pharmaceuticals to help him keep the wretched stuff down. What I think, and nobody is talking about it, is that the rich oil-producing companies have systematically been made enemies of this country. And if you were to make friends of people like the president of Venezuela and Iran, don't you think that we could talk to them about reducing the price of oil instead of all of this shenanigans about running around in circles to try to compensate for the cost? Thank you, and I'll listen to your answer.
Well, first of all, it's important to note that private companies like ExxonMobil are among the largest oil producers in the world. I mean, ExxonMobil alone produces more oil every day than the entire Kingdom of Kuwait. And so the United States government should be able to have more leverage over U.S.-based oil producers that, you know, have a huge global impact. Secondly, I completely agree with the caller that rather than threatening democratically elected leaders in Venezuela and the leadership in Iran, that we should instead be emphasizing more diplomatic solutions.
Well, absolutely. Isn't Venezuela going to the OPEC meeting and saying, you know what, we're number one now?
That's right.
And
I always am in favor of opening up diplomacy with countries, because that is historically always been the most productive method of achieving mutually beneficial arrangements. But the bottom line is, we're going to need to transition away from fossil fuels eventually. That is going to take a heck of a lot of financial investment, and that investment is not going to be coming from the oil industry. And a windfall profits tax or some other method of revenue raising is going to have to be implemented to finance the transition away from fossil fuels in order to solve the underlying energy problem.
Is this, in this quote-unquote investigation into price gouging, is that smoke and mirrors? Is that a distraction?
Unfortunately, it is, because most of what the oil companies are engaging in is perfectly legal. There is really nothing that they're doing that is in violation of current laws. Like I was outlining, you know, it costs a company like ExxonMobil, which is a huge global oil producer, about $20 to extract a barrel of oil, whether that's in Nigeria or Alaska or Texas, and they're selling it to us at $70 a barrel. That's perfectly legal. So any investigation of illegal behavior is going to not find anything wrong with that.
So the investigation, the hearings on Capitol Hill, should be about price gouging.
Well, yeah, it should be about, well, what do we need to do to strengthen antitrust laws? What do we need to do to deal with the fact that private companies control huge amounts of natural resources that our entire economy is dependent upon, and should government play a bigger role, not necessarily in setting prices, but in capturing a portion of those windfall profits to invest in an alternative energy and sustainable energy future?
And shouldn't we be talking about, have hearings about punishing them or having a windfall tax? Having a windfall tax.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And to me, it isn't so much about punishment. It's just about, well, look, it's never going to be in ExxonMobil's financial interest to use their profits to invest in alternative fuels. That's not what ExxonMobil does. But it's in the national interest for us to invest in alternatives. And we're right now, the federal government's running annual budget deficits of $500 billion. The oil companies are the most profitable segment of the U.S. economy. The president himself has said that we're addicted to oil, and that's a problem. So why shouldn't we take a portion of those record profits and invest it in alternatives and other sustainable energy solutions?
Tyson Slocum, Director of the Energy Program for Public Citizen. Where can people find out more information, Tyson?
At www.citizen.org.
Tyson, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, Liz.
All right, take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, we're taking a break. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Waiting to bloom like a light bulb in a dark
Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU, just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999.
Come enjoy Alan Ayckbourn's comedy, Bedroom Farce, at the Theater Guild of Webster Groves. 517 Theater Lane in Webster, May 4th through the 7th and May 11th through the 13th. Shows are at 8 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. Sundays. For more information, call 962-0876.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for A Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's A Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tokyo. Government officials in Japan are coming out in opposition of a new agreement with the United States that calls for a realignment of military forces there by the year 2014. Local representatives say the overall plan does not take into account how local residents feel about it. The U.S. has about 50,000 troops in Japan, which includes several air bases and the home port for the 7th Fleet. The troop realignment would be the biggest ever undertaken, and Japan would have to pay about $26 billion of the total cost. Japan is also helping out the United States in the war in Iraq, providing a huge total of 600 troops in non-combat roles. And Dateline Rome. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi is said to be prepared to give his formal resignation today after conducting a final cabinet meeting and paying a visit to President Carlo Ciampi. He has been trying to hang on to his job after the elections 3 weeks ago following a razor-thin loss to his opponent, but he finally conceded defeat to left-winger Romano Prodi. The new parliament met on Saturday and elected leaders from both houses who belong to Prodi's coalition.
Berlusconi served a turbulent 5 years in office, constantly being scrutinized because of his huge wealthiness. He also had several legal issues and was also criticized because of his constant pro-Americanism. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
For the issues that matter most to you, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 5 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
You knew her as the brave little girl stricken with cancer and inspired by an idea.
Alex's amazing was started by a kid. The kid was Alex. She was my sister.
Before illness claimed her life, Alex's lemonade stand raised nearly $1 million for childhood cancer. Now her brothers have carried on with new goals in sight.
The reason it's important to reach their goal of is because it was set by Alex right before she died.
Help Alex's dream live on. Visit alexslemonade.org and help beat childhood cancer one cup at a time.
The St. Louis Zoo presents Trivia Gone Wild on Saturday at 7 p.m. The doors open at 5:30 with live entertainment at Lakeside Cafe. Tickets are $35, including dinner from Outback Steakhouse, beer, soft drinks, and event souvenir. Free parking will be provided. Proceeds benefit global conservation efforts of the zoo. For information and reservations, call 314-768-5440 or visit stlzoo.org. Trivia news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You don't hear a lot about the new generation of social activists, but Wednesday morning at 8, Liz Brown talks to one young man who is making a difference in New York. Kari Lazar White is co-founder of the Brotherhood and Sister Soul program in Harlem that provides opportunities for disadvantaged young people. 96% of his youth graduate or get a GED. 80% have been accepted to college. Has he found the secret to reaching at-risk youth? Join us Wednesday morning at 8 to hear the remarkable story of Kari Lazar White right here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
We're back. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown, and I just want to do a couple of bookkeeping items here, folks. Don't forget that on Saturday, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., the people's attorney, Chokwe Lumumba, will speak on injustice in America, from the courtroom to Katrina at Muhammad Academy at 3526 Garrison at Natural Bridge. Special guest speaker will be Dr. Imari Obadeli. This timely event is sponsored by the Provisional Government Republic of New Africa. It's $25, includes dinner tickets available at Ujima Bookstore. For more information, call 839-0422. That's 839-0422. And also a wonderful opportunity for you. If I do say so myself, I'm looking for interns for this summer, and you can give me a call at 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. I'm looking for people that are 18 years or older, and they need to get me their resume. Looking for people that have great research ability, people that have great computer research ability, people that are good in public speaking, people that are interested in finding out how radio works. So all you got to do is get a hold of me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Or phone, you can phone me at 367-2743. That's 367-2743. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And I tell you what, as we are coming to the end of the show, I will be back, same time, same place, tomorrow. Stay strong.
To you. You were born with power.
Very bad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Progress is being made. If you take a 1999 engine and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low main.